You're gonna get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. But you never stop listening to them clinking. Because they're gonna remind you of what I've been saying. For your own good.
Wish you'd stop being so good to me, Captain.
Don't you ever talk that way to me. Never! Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it.
They're gonna put y'all back in chains.
I don't like it any more than you do.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions.
This is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay.
Against us? Should we be concerned about our safety? What is he doing with this divisive language?
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. This taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday of getting back at you.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
We got to stay on the street. And we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we need this.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
When you're in the arena, you got to be ready to take a punch. You got to be ready to throw a punch for the children. For the children.
Not only do we need to disinvest in police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department.
I believe that injustice is a threat to the safety of all people. Once someone doesn't have access to clean water, they have no choice but to riot, right?
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives. And unfortunately, there's plenty to go around.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets.
Fight in the streets.
No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
He should have spent a bit more time at the range. It's a pity he missed.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
With all due respect, we're walking down a damn different path. We're fighting fire with fire. I'm going to punch these sons of bitches in the mouth.
Could you imagine, just imagine in your mind, if you told people they couldn't vote next November? I think there would be a genuine uprising in this country.
But Michelle Wood says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, we kick.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to The American Journal. We're excited that you are all with us. Happy Tuesday, everyone. A lot going on in the world. A lot just dropping moments ago. The CIA has just declassified a new document that outlines more Biden corruption. Surprise, surprise. Thank you for being here. All right, so we've got our eyes on a couple of things right now. I'll get to that document in just a few moments. As I said, it was just released a few moments ago, so there's a lot to dive into there. But we're also keeping our eye over in the Senate right now because AG Pam Bondi is expected to testify in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, that is expected to begin at any point, so we will bring that to you when that starts to begin. We'll be going through it throughout the show today because, of course, there's a lot going on in the world. We don't want to turn an eye away from everything else. We're definitely keeping our eyes on Pam Bondi this morning because we have a lot of questions. We're hoping that these senators are bold enough to ask the real questions that the American people want answers for. Now, President Trump, he's got a busy day ahead of him. He's meeting with the Canadian Prime Minister later this morning at 11:30 a.m. And then later this afternoon, he is meeting with the freed Israeli-American hostage, Eden Alexander, at 3 p.m. Eastern time today. So we'll be covering all of that today on InfoWars, of course. But let's dive into what just broke moments ago. Now, we just received declassified documents from the CIA, and it pretty much outlines what you at home have already known. But now you get to understand the levels that the Biden regime went to suppress this information. Joe Biden didn't want the American people to know about his family's corruption related to Ukraine. And so he actually sent an email, his team did, over to the CIA and asked them to suppress this information. At the request of Joe Biden when he was VP, the CIA suppressed an intelligence report highlighting the negative Ukrainian government views on his diplomatic efforts and his family business dealings with Ukraine. Okay, folks, so that's Ukrainian officials questioning Joe Biden in regards to his own Ukrainian business dealings. That's a big one. Obviously, Biden visited Kyiv back in December of 2015 to meet with Ukrainian leaders and warned against the cancer of corruption. How laughable is that? Ukrainian officials privately expressed how disappointed they were in regards to all of this. They felt that Biden's visit focused primarily on delivering a generic speech rather than something of substance. Now, again, these documents were just declassified moments ago, so we are sifting through them. Interesting enough, though, like I said, there was an email that was sent. And in that email specifically, I mean, they're asking for this information to not be disseminated. I mean, again, guys, we've done this time and time again. This is what we always constantly are reporting on. I mean, the fact that they sat here and they tried their very best to hide this information and it worked for a very long time tells you what was really going on behind the scenes. And keep in mind, he wasn't the so-called president. He was the VP. So when we talk about the level of corruption that's been going on in this country for far too long, it's much deeper than most people even assumed. Again, in one of those emails, good morning, I just spoke with the VP NSA, and he would strongly prefer that the report not be disseminated. Thanks for understanding. Now, again, that email was sent on February 10th of 2016. And it's not surprising. Now, again, although these documents are declassified, they are heavily redacted. And so there's a lot of missing pieces here. But it's not surprising. This is what's going on with the federal government. This is what has been going on with the federal government. And still, even though we have Pam Bondi making her way to the Senate right now, not a single person from the Obama-Biden regime has been arrested. Now, of course, if they were to arrest Joe Biden, he'd probably not be able to stand trial because he is not mentally well. But then again, give it a shot. At least go down swinging. And speaking about going down swinging, you may have seen a report yesterday that came out from Chuck Grassley's office. Chuck Grassley sounding the alarm about how, of course, Jack Smith spied on several Republican senators. Now, he lists about eight of them, and all of them, besides Tommy Tuberville, are pretty much spineless. People like Josh Hawley, Marshall Blackburn, Mike Kelly, Lindsey Graham, and so many others found themselves, even Dan Sullivan, found themselves being spied on. Now, here's the thing, right? Because they had a press conference yesterday. They all pretended to be outraged. Oh, how could he do this to us? How could they do this to us? We're senators. We're senators. Well, now that you know the information, what the heck are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're going to go out there? You're going to have these people arrested? You see, because when other average Americans were being spied on by the Biden regime, what happened there? Nothing. Nothing. In fact, most of these rhinos thought it was just the fringe who was being targeted by the government, and so they looked the other way. But now that they know that they were also targeted, oh, they want your sympathy. They were doing the rounds last night on Fox News, trying to garnish the American people's sympathy. I lack empathy for these people. You know why? Because they've done nothing to help average Americans who are being victimized by the federal government. When Joe Biden was utilizing all of these federal agencies to crush his political opposition, none of these people had the cojones to stand up for them. Dan Sullivan, Lindsey Graham, all awful people who now want your empathy because, well, why? Oh, they were being spied on? Welcome to the party. We were all being spied on. Journalists were being spied on by the Obama regime. What did they do about it? Nothing. So you're surprised that you were also brought into all of this? Now, again, we're waiting to see what happens with AG Bondi as she makes her way right now to the Senate. But, folks, I have no empathy for these people. Tommy Tuberville is the only fighter on that list. He is the only fighter on that list. He's the only person who does not care to stand up for those who he needs to stand up for. A lot of people, you know, they don't do anything besides Fox News because guess what? They're afraid. They are afraid. They only want the mainstream media. They are cowards. Tommy Tuberville, I don't think he's ever said no to a media hit, but it's a good thing, though. He doesn't think he's above people. Everyone else on this list, though, has a history of thinking they're above the American people. So they're upset now because they were targeted. Their calls were somehow looked into, probably recorded. I mean, it's not surprising. Everyone who works in D.C. know that their calls are being recorded. And so now they want you at home to be enraged, to feel anger towards them. They're U.S. senators. What are you going to do about it? You're going to defund the FBI? You're going to defund all these agencies that allow this to happen to you? No, you're not. You're not going to do anything about it. You're going to get your quick 7-minute hits on Fox News and then that's it. I lack empathy for any of these people. I truly, truly do. We have a very limited amount of people in the Senate who are bold enough to go out there and fight. Chuck Grassley is actually one of those individuals. And he's actually speaking right now in the Senate. Let's tune in because we have Pam Bondi who's about to speak at her hearing right now. So let's take a listen.
Get answers from the office of Ledge Affairs. They have blocked the confirmation of that person. Since your confirmation, you've taken steps to institute needed reforms under your leadership. The Justice Department has cut funding to politicize programs to reinvest in core policing activities. Focusing on crime and getting tough on criminals is a welcome change from 4 years of Biden administration's soft on crime policies. During the Biden administration, the Justice Department failed to collect billions of dollars in criminal fines and penalties from corporate offenders. That money should have been placed in the Crime Victims Fund, and much of the money of the past administration did collect went to the Justice Department slash funds instead of aiding victims of criminals and violent activity. My Democratic colleagues have shared concerns about funding agency and law enforcement, but generally haven't supported funding programs. Under the Democrat leadership, the COPS reauthorization was held over in committee at least 8 times before the 118th Congress concluded. It never received a vote in this committee. More recently, Democrats have refused to support fundamental Justice Department programs like Protect Safe Neighborhoods. And last week, Democrats again blocked most of the Police Week bills from passing the Senate, even though they passed out of this committee unanimously. In contrast to these indefensible positions, the judiciary provisions in the Republican reconciliation bill made hundreds of millions of dollars available to the Justice Department to combat crime. Attorney General Bondi, you've also created task force to attack the problems left by your predecessor. You've created a team to review the overwhelming evidence of political weaponization by federal law enforcement, including the discredited Crossfire Hurricane investigations. Your weaponization working group has worked with my staff to bring forward resolutions for whistleblowers, and I commend you and your staff efforts to find solutions for these patriots. I understand the task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias has done an investigation on how the Biden administration weaponized the government against people of faith. I look forward to your next report on that subject. Now, you've also shuttered a certain task force that was a stain on this country, the Foreign Influence Task Force. Democrats have cried about closing this misleadingly named unit. The task force was involved in undermining my and Senator Johnson's Biden family investigation. Instead of rooting out foreign influence, the task force became a political weapon. And speaking of political weapons, I'm now going to address examples of political weaponization in the previous administration. Most recently, I and Senator Johnson made public information relating to Arctic Force expansive targeting of Republicans. And on Monday, just yesterday, because of our investigative work, the FBI disclosed that the Biden administration used Arctic Frost to target Republican senators, including several senators on this very committee. This is an outrage, an unconstitutional breach, and ought to be immediately addressed by you and Director Patel. It's also a clear example of why the Justice Department has had to fire personnel who you hear Democrats defending. While the taxpayers dime, while on the taxpayers dime, these now fired employees not only weaponized law enforcement, but some of them also retaliated against patriotic whistleblowers. These are indefensible acts. Now I've obtained additional weaponization records thanks to brave whistleblowers that predate Arctic Frost. I've obtained documents created by then Supervisory Special Agent Thiebaud, dated March 2, 2017. The title of this document is quote-unquote Trump, and it appears to relate to matters different than Crossfire Hurricane. This document discusses a rumor at FBI headquarters that the FBI's Washington field office was leaning towards opening a case on the Trump campaign. Thiebaud noted they weren't close to opening an investigation, but did say this, quote, "What are we doing? Aggressively seeking out open source information, human intelligence info that could predicate a case," end quote. You see, less than 2 months into the Trump's first presidency, the partisan Comey FBI, was very hard at work trying to manufacture another case against Trump. Tebow and the FBI eventually got their wish in April 2022 with the opening of Arctic Frost. This was a political fishing expedition to get Trump at all costs, just like Crossfire Hurricane. And, of course, it's a disgrace to the taxpayers. Whistleblowers have provided me with another document. This document is a 2017 case, updated, also drafted by then-Supervisor Special Agent Tebow. This is a case update for CR-15, the now-disbanded and discredited Public Corruption Squad at FBI's Washington Field Office, which says, quote, McAuliffe case, Steve Sullivan, Chief Financial Officer of Teneo, was interviewed in New York City. Info provided seemed to confirm Teneo was used as a pass-through for Doug Band to pay former President of the United States, end of quote. Doug Band was deputy assistant to then-President Clinton and continued to work for him in post-presidency. Therefore, it's pretty clear that the reference to the President of the United States is Bill Clinton. The document further notes additional interviews the FBI planned to conduct as part of the case. This information confirms there was an FBI case on McAuliffe, and it indicates the Clintons and their associates were relevant to it. Did the FBI throw its resources behind this matter just like it did against Trump and his associates? A legitimate question.
All right, I want to jump in here because it's obviously Senator Chuck Grassley. He's a patriot, and we do appreciate all that he does. He's one of the only individuals in the Senate right now actually doing the digging into all of this. And so we're very grateful for Senator Chuck Grassley. We'll jump back into it, though, when we see that the AG is speaking, because we need to know a lot about what's been going on in the Department of Justice. Now, many of us are hearing whispers about grand juries, and obviously she will not confirm that openly, but the reality is that James Comey hasn't been arrested yet. You just heard Chuck Grassley outline more crimes that Comey has allegedly committed, and have gotten the mugshot yet? No. No, you haven't. So, Pam Bondi, again, another disappointment. Not surprising, though, because, well, Bondi really just isn't the fighter that we needed. And it's not just her. Obviously, we all know it's the deputy AG as well, Todd Blanche, not doing what they should be doing. Again, my source is telling me what is already being reported is factually true in regards to Blanche, not doing anything to help work on the pardons that need to take place. There's still political prisoners in prison right now from the Biden regime era, and nothing's being done. So it's not surprising what's going on right now. Right now, we have all of this coming out about Arctic Frost. And they want you to have empathy, though, for those who were wrapped up into it. Because just weeks ago, we spoke to Rudy Giuliani on this show. His financial records were grabbed in all of this. And it wasn't just him. It was a lot of the attorneys that represented President Trump. They were all targeted. And I didn't really hear a lot of these senators get outraged by any of it. There was no call for actions, no call for arrest, no calls to charge individuals with treason. But now that they have all learned that they've been spied on as well, they're holding press conferences. They want you to get pissed off with them. They're getting their 5-minute hits on Fox News. You see, I've had enough of this because we see this unravel all the time. And sadly, we don't see a group of individuals who is capable of actually going after these people who have weaponize federal agencies against not only just the American people, but our politicians that we've elected to office. And so now they want empathy. Spare them of your empathy, though. They don't deserve it. You see, I was dealing with a lot of January 6th defendants, and there were many of them who were being spied on by the government after they were charged with misdemeanor offenses. There was one individual who literally sent me a utilities pole picture, and he believed that the FBI had actually planted a listening device on that pole outside of his home. So I turned to my FBI sources and sent them a picture. And they said, yep, that's one of ours. And then I reached out to his local politicians and asked for assistance here, and crickets. So when they went after the American people, these people had zero empathy. And that's just one of many excuses when it comes to why I don't really care to hear a lot of these Senate Republicans pretend like they're outraged. Again, Tommy Tuberville is the only name on that list that pops as a patriot, somebody who actually is pushing back. The others I lack empathy for. I truly, truly do. And just to go over Arctic Frost, exactly what it was a over 100 subpoenas that were pushed forward, 50 bank records requested. They also went after crediting agencies, trying to figure out how much money a lot of these individuals had in their bank accounts. Can you fight the lawfare? Let's see. Let's see. Let's sift through all your financial records. Senator Ron Johnson is utilizing some of this time to now call, and we're not going to play the clip, because I've just had enough of it, but he's calling for oversight, and he's also calling on whistleblowers. Now, here's my problem with the call for whistleblowers. You want whistleblowers to come forward? Great. Where were you when the FBI whistleblowers came forward? Steve Friend, Garrett O'Boyle, Kyle Serafin. Where did you stand with them? Because for far too long, those individuals were placed on unpaid suspension, pushed out of the agency. And still, I don't even know, because I can't talk to them, even though I'm friends with them. Because they've been technically reinstated, but they actually, I don't think they've done anything. I don't think that they're actually being called into duty to work. So again, where were all these brave individuals who now want whistleblowers to come forward and tell what was going on behind the scenes? These politicians are all cowards, and I'm so fed up with them. I am so fed up. I'm so fed up with listening to them just continue to drag this on for political gain. They're going to use this to fundraise, but there's nothing going to be done. You know, when Barack Obama was tapping the phones of journalists, mainstream journalists, by the way, the Associated Press was wrapped into a one Fox reporter, Cheryl Atkinson. Only Cheryl fought back. She's still suing the government over all of this. But nobody else wanted to stand up and fight with Cheryl. No one. And so this issue has just gotten worse and worse and worse. What do they want? They want to find out who was speaking to Cheryl Atkinson. And so they went through her phone records, likely recorded her communications, and just violating the First Amendment. No care in the world. In fact, the new administration still hasn't settled that lawsuit with Cheryl. As far as I could recall, last I spoke with Cheryl, I don't think that lawsuit has been settled. So again, there's this double standard that they don't want you talking about. When average Americans were being targeted by these weaponized agencies, they didn't care. They didn't care. But now that they found out that even though they were pretty blah all these years, weren't as bold as President Trump, that they too were actually targeted. Yeah, you know why? Because they're going to go after everyone who is their opponents. They don't care. They don't care. Folks, we're going to kick off the second half of this hour in just a few moments, but we've got a lot more to dive into. Steve Baker is going to be joining us because Steve is the one who was just recently uncovered. Remember that SIM card looking thing that we saw last week where they were trying to go after a communication, shut down the 911 call center in New York City? Well, Steve's been digging into this. He's got sources. He's joining us in just a few moments to tell us all about that. So do not go anywhere. We've got more corruption to dive into.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the alexjonesstore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
That you are all here with us today because there's a lot to uncover. All of these politicians are now coming clean and saying, well, look what we caught the Biden regime doing. And they're continuing to out the Biden regime for going after American people, going after lawmakers pretty much. I mean, that's the only thing they care about is when they catch the government going after them. When they were going after Americans, they didn't care. We're keeping our eye right now as the Senate is about to start grilling AG Pam Bondi. She has not yet spoken, but we're keeping our eye on things over there. But there was another story. It was a big story that broke last week, and we want to make sure you kept your eye on it because, again, this one has a lot of us scratching our heads. You might recall there was a massive sim farm network that was exposed last week outside of the UN, miles away. Now, according to officials, this SIM card carried out surveillance, and guess who was behind it? Well, according to an exclusive report from The Blaze, China. China was behind this. Joining me now to discuss is investigative reporter for The Blaze. Please welcome to the show, Steve Baker. He's an incredible investigative journalist breaking all of these great stories, and I'm excited he's here with us today. Steve, we saw the report come out regarding this Sim Farm that was just miles away from the UN when President Trump was in town and others, and it was capable of taking down the 911 call system in New York City. And now it's interesting because my first gut instinct was this is likely Al-Qaeda. I thought Al-Qaeda, since the Syrian president was in town, it was a no-brainer for me since he is an Al-Qaeda leader. But now you're telling me it's China. So break down your latest report.
Yeah, it's very unlikely that these SIM farms are, these SIM card farms or however you want to characterize them, are the product of a single terrorist organization. They just don't have the resources to do that. And even the speculation that it may be part of a cartel operation and some of their nefarious doings, particularly with scam operations and also, you know, rerouting calls for their drug and human trafficking operations. Well, the reality is that the cartels do in fact use these SIM farms because the cartels are nothing more than proxies of the Chinese government at this point. And yes, I did say that, but that is exactly the case. But these SIM farms are the product of a nation state. We know for a fact through our sources in the highest level of the intelligence community here in the United States that these are Chinese funded. There wasn't just the one that was found there in New York City that, you know, coincidentally happened at the time of the big NATO gathering and the muckety-mucks and the big wigs that were there. And it seemed to be maybe that was something that might be the target of an attack. But that really was just a coincidence because these have been in operation, Brianna, since 2004. Now, not necessarily that one, but the entire idea of these SIM farm networks have been set up in this country by China since 2004. That's what we have learned. Additionally, we know that there were five that were taken down in this operation, not just the one that we keep hearing about. A couple of other outlets have also discovered that there were five total that were taken down there in the tri-state area. What that means is that these SIM farms had enough capability and enough of the ability to send out such a massive dose or an array of text messages and other types of signals that they could have actually taken down the entire cellular network in New York as well as the internet system. And of course, you know what would happen in that scenario. We would have literally an escape from New York situation in as little as 3 days because there would be no ability for people to get cash from the ATM. Therefore, they wouldn't be able to buy anything. Their credit cards are not going to work at the point of sales in every store. They're not going to be able to get gasoline. It shuts everything down, including the train systems, the rail systems that are all dependent upon cellular networks and internet networks now. And this is exactly what these SIM farms are ultimately designed to do, other than just the you know, it's not so scary that they're able to do these SWAT raids, because what's happening is these SWAT raids that happen, and this is how this was discovered by the Secret Service, these SWAT raids that were hitting dignitaries, politicians, our own Congress members, and then, of course, many media influencers. I think, you know, like Tim Pool was SWATed 16 times, what ended up happening was a significant person, a very high-level, high-ranking person at the Secret Service was SWATed, and the call was routed through one of these farms, and that allowed gave them enough motivation, let's just say, to finally do something about it and look for it, and one of their analysts happened to find the trail, you know, the electronic trail and footprints to locate one of these SIM farms. From that, they found the other four. And now the really frightening part, Brianna, is they estimate that there's anywhere from 60 to 100 of these located throughout the United States in various cities, border towns, things of that nature.
Okay, so this is really kind of scary, right? Because we covered the swatting instances that were going on across the country. Here at InfoWars, I think at least three hosts were dealing within a span of a couple of days these swatting calls that were being placed on their homes, their loved ones' homes, and they were targeted in all of this. I remember reaching out to the FBI to get them to investigate it, and I think I was probably the first one to do that because nobody really wanted to talk about it. This was kind of something that was very wanted to go under the radar, and they didn't see the consistencies here. And then we were all getting Domino's pizza delivery orders randomly, and they were all coming in. I mean, I have a big family. Everyone was getting pizza. And so it seemed very strange, but it also seemed foreign because no one really understood it. So now this kind of makes sense for all of us here. But we were told by DHS that they were going to be able to figure out because they had the equipment to solve this case. As far as I know, there has not been any major arrests in that situation. So it's interesting to hear your details regarding a high up official over at the CIA. Is there anything else more you could kind of divulge in that front?
Well, the thing that we can tell you is there's a reason why no arrests have been made. Once these SIM farms are set up, they're self-sufficient. Once they're plugged in, all completely operating, they don't need anyone on site to actually operate them. Now, I'm sure that they need service. I know that they need to come in from time to time to change out the cards or that sort of thing. But we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cards that have to be changed out. And once they're set up, they can operate self-sufficiently for quite some time. I can tell you that the owner of the property of the five sites where these five SIM farms were found has turned himself in voluntarily and has become a cooperating witness. That's all we know. Now, the arrests have not been made because the actors are operating overseas. I can tell you for a fact that the high-ranking Secret Service official who was swatted, his call came in from the number of an 11-year-old child's cell phone here in the United States. But that's not where the call originated. It originated overseas. They actually know who placed that call. They know the name of the person. They know the country where the person is located. But they are not releasing that at this time.
Yeah, Steve, this is what gets me really infuriated. I don't think I've ever disclosed this publicly, but when I was investigating all the swatting calls, and this is why I'm like getting really upset right now, the individuals who were involved in this were sending me child pornography through this 769 or 764 pedophile group, private Telegram chat, and they were trying to get me to go into this. So I tried my best to put this on the FBI's radar. They just pretty much dropped my case and didn't want much to do with it. So, you know, as we continue to learn more about this, I'm excited that we're learning more about this. I was getting FaceTime calls from random numbers. I was getting all these random phone calls they were hoping I was going to pick up. I didn't because I didn't know what was going to be on the other line of all of this. But again, I mean, this is what we kind of expected. This is what we kind of knew what was going on. And so it's interesting to hear now that the kind of what you're saying about the CIA official who's now being wrapped up into all of this. I haven't heard anything from the FBI. And so this is very infuriating. But I want to ask you, because obviously there's China involved in all of this. What would be the purpose in doing this? Because, I mean, for me, I'm thinking maybe they're just looking to create political discourse. They want to make it seem like conservatives are being targeted by those on the left. And so they're trying to stir the pot and create a civil war potentially that would work out well for China. But what are you kind of understanding in regards to why they would do this?
Yeah, no, the primary focus at the present is chaos, confusion, discord, creating those types of situations. But that's not the only thing they're doing with these SIM farms. What we are going to be revealing in our next part, our part two of this story, is we're going to be revealing how they're influencing the narrative. This is a major influence operation in addition to the swatting, in addition to the capability of shutting down entire cellular networks. What they're doing is that these SIM farms can actually electronically, through their AI directions coming from China, they can go through the multi-factor authentication process to set up social media accounts. It is estimated by the intelligence community that this is a staggering number, that 80% of all users on Reddit are actually bots, and you cannot tell the difference between them and humans. Mm-hmm. And that they are programmed in such a way to establish relationships with people. Discord is also, as we know, a major breeding ground for these bots that are shaping through progressive messaging and through, you know, we saw what happened with Charlie Kirk. We saw the group that those kids were hanging out in, and that these are influence operations to shape and brainwash young people, particularly the generation that is spending time in these chat groups, these gaming groups, these things, those online messaging groups and that sort of thing. And they are doing this by the tens and millions, hundreds of millions is what the capability of these SIM farms is doing. And as I said, they're able to actually go through and create accounts. Now, Meta, Facebook, Instagram is highly infected by this particular assault from the Chinese government. X, interestingly, is not so much infected, and the reason why is because Elon had the foresight to do this $8 a month charge for a check mark, for the blue check mark. And as a result of that, it's very difficult for them to justify spending, you know, setting up tens of millions of accounts, fake accounts on X, and then paying $8 a month. They can't afford to do that. But these SIM farms are running a lot of the scams that you see, a lot of the times that your phone suddenly goes off with some phishing expedition for your data and for your financial information. That is a process of these farms. And the Chinese are paying for this. They're setting up cryptocurrency accounts, and that's how they're paying for that. That's how the properties are being paid for where these SIM farms are set up, is through cryptocurrency. And all of this is being done electronically, and so it's very, very difficult to trace. It's routed through multiple layers of switches through different countries, and but ultimately it all traces back to China. This is their operation. And what we're most concerned about, and the reason why, first of all, the fact that they're swatting our nation's leaders, because swatting now, as you know, has been classified by the new administration as an act of terrorism, and it is. Mm-hmm. Swatting is an attempted murder. That is exactly what a swatting effort is. And so these are acts of war. They are technically and legally defined as acts of war, what the Chinese are doing here. And that's most concerning, because we're not hearing anything from our government right now about how they're going to handle it, other than, you know, we still have, thank God, some good people in the intelligence community who are really concerned about this. And that's why they're talking to us, is so that we can get this information out there, warn the public. Then the public can put the pressure on our legislators, on the Trump administration, and say, do something about this before it gets out of hand.
Yeah, Steve, and this kind of brings back another conversation I had with the FBI when I was detailing what was going on with me and the harassment I was receiving through all of these random phone numbers, FaceTime calls, emails, pizza delivery orders, all of this. The first thing one of the FBI agents told me was, be careful, they might try sending you child pornography, and if they do, don't send it to us. So this sounds like they knew a lot more was on the line, what more was going on, and that's what they were trying to do. And it's an effort to discredit so many people. I talk to conservatives all the time. Most of them won't come forward on this area, but they also have received the same things. And when they talk to the federal government, all these law enforcement agencies, there's not much done to protect them. It's meant to be a slander campaign, too, against conservatives to discredit us. And it's really concerning to me how deep this all goes. I mean, the fact that they're able to set these up all across the country, and we're now just learning about it, is really, really concerning. What are these wireless providers saying, though? Because ultimately, this could be used to take out their networks, and for some reason, I haven't really heard much on them.
Yeah, this is another suggestion from our sources, is that the wireless providers, you know, the big three, they have to take and become very proactive with this. It's impossible for them to not recognize the surges coming from a single address of this type of activity. Now, they may be, the Chinese may be so discretionary that they know how to stay, you know, kind of low, below a certain level of scrutiny, but ultimately they're testing, they're prodding, they're seeing what their capabilities are, because ultimately the end game of these servers and the most dangerous aspect of them is the ability to shut down entire cellular and internet networks, because that paralyzes us. It sends us to the dark ages in a matter of 3 days because of our supply chains, the way they are now, the way it's all set up. Your grocery store will be empty in 3 days if they cannot place orders. Your ATM will not be accessible after you've paid your last $10, because we don't carry cash anymore. You paid your last $10 for gasoline, then that's not going to work any longer. And so it's a frightening prospect what these things can do, and we feel like right now what the Chinese are doing is just testing what their limits are.
Yeah, it's just another reason why they're doing this big push for all of us to go digital, and why we all need to be aggressive and push back. I know here at InfoWars, we've been warning our audience about this for quite some time now. So it's interesting to hear you lay that all out for us, Steve. So, Steve, I want to thank you for doing this incredible report. I look forward to part two on this, because this is really interesting, and this is where the war is. I mean, they're truly trying their best to go after the American people through something like this, and we all need to be paying attention. So, Steve, thank you again for all the incredible work you do over at The Blaze. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna.
If that doesn't have you sitting on edge, guys, I don't know what will. The fact of the matter is we are at war with China, and so many Americans haven't yet caught on with that. But it's a great report that just came out from Steve Baker and Joe Hanneman as well. Those two, when they team up, they bring you complete bombshell stories. So we're thankful for Steve joining us on that front this morning. All right, so I'm looking over and I see Pam Bondi is speaking right now. Let's head back over to the Senate and take a listen.
Weaponization. The reauthorization mandated certain members and their staffs shall be entitled to attend any proceedings of the FISA court. Former Biden DOJ Assistant Attorney General Matt Olson drafted a privacy agreement that allowed the department to hide information from Congress during FISA proceedings. Matt Olson made a career out of targeting President Trump and his allies, so it's not surprising that he would attempt to hinder congressional oversight or cover up for the Biden regime. I want to make sure that you get rid of the ridiculous and misguided Olson memo. When can you tell me that will be done?
We will notify you, Chairman Grassley. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Durbin.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Madam Attorney General, let me ask you this question. Were you consulted by the White House before they deployed National Guard troops to cities in the United States?
I am not going to discuss any internal conversations with the White House.
You won't even say whether you talked to the White House about this?
I am not going to discuss any internal conversations with the White House with you, Chair, Ranking Member.
I noticed that. What's the secret? Why do you want to keep this secret? The American people don't know the rationale behind the deployment of National Guard troops in my state. The word is, and I think it's been confirmed by the White House, they are going to transfer Texas National Guard units to the state of Illinois. What's the rationale for that?
Yeah, Chairman, as you shut down the government, you voted to shut down the government, and you're sitting here, our law enforcement officers aren't being paid. They're out there working to protect you. I wish you loved Chicago as much as you hate President Trump. And currently, the National Guard are on the way to Chicago. If you're not going to protect your citizens, President Trump will.
Been on this committee for more than 20 years. That's the kind of testimony you expect from this administration. A simple question as to whether or not they had a legal rationale for deploying National Guard troops becomes grounds for a personal attack. I think it's a legitimate question. It's my responsibility. She refuses to answer as to whether she had any conversation with the White House about deploying national troops to my state. That's an indication, I'm afraid, where we are politically in this place. Let me ask you another question. I want to, if you will, hold on a second. Make sure I got the right page of facts here. You testified under oath when you last before this committee that before your appointment to Attorney General, you had served as a representative of some sort for the royal family of Qatar. There was an issue that came before you in May when President Trump accepted a $400 million luxury jet from the royal family of Qatar for temporary use as Air Force One before it's permanently gifted to the Trump Presidential Library Foundation. The Constitution unequivocally bestows on Congress the power to control whether any officer of the United States, including the president, may accept a gift, quote, from any king, prince, or foreign state, end of quote. And this gift clearly violates the statutory regime enacted by Congress. You've refused to answer a letter I sent to you 5 months ago asking the legal rationale you relied on to advise President Trump to accept this unprecedented gift from your former legal client. Can you make a promise today that you will disclose that?
Disclose what, Ranking Member?
I assume there was a letter or some sort of statement from your office to the White House to advise them that you felt it was permissible.
First, to address my role with Qatar, as I addressed with you during my confirmation hearing, I disclosed it in my SJQ. In private practice, I worked for Qatar for anti-human trafficking for the World Cup. That was my only involvement, and I made that very clear, and I'm very proud of everything I've done with anti-human trafficking. Obviously, in preparing any advice for the president on a jet or anything else, we consult with the Office of Legal Counsel. The confidentiality applies to their input as well. And, Chairman, if you would approve and vote to approve, as Chairman Grassley said, excuse me, ranking member, as Chairman Grassley said, my employees, we would answer your letters a lot faster, yet you're stalling them at every stop. And to go back to your previous question, your city has a murder rate 5 times higher than New York's. 571 homicides last year. If you were serious about protecting your people, you would be asking this administration for help. You're saying that we're coming into your state and your city. We're there to help make America safe and Illinois safe, whether or not you want to.
I believe cutting federal grant programs to law enforcement in my state and across the nation does not make us any safer, and you've done just that. You've supplanted that decision by sending in National Guard troops to California and other places. That is a situation where the governors have not asked for that help. If you truly wanted to do this on a bipartisan basis, you wouldn't defy a governor. You would work with them. I'm prepared to do that. I'm prepared to work with this administration. But cutting these grants to law enforcement does not make us any stronger as a nation or give us the tools we need to reduce crime in Chicago. Now, I'd just like to ask you, when it came to this Cutter situation, did you consult with the ethics office in the Department of Justice before making your decision on this gift of a jet?
Chairman, I didn't gift a jet to anyone. My Office of Legal Counsel provides confidential advice to the president, to the White House, period. And you're conflating two issues. Cutting grants. I was very clear about what grants we've cut and what grants we haven't. Only 7%. And if you have a grant in Illinois that you think that I've cut that is not protect, that is protecting law enforcement officers or your people, you personally call me and I will work with you to turn that grant back on. I think many of the Democrats here can tell you, I have worked with them to turn grants back on. There's an appeal process. Tell me a specific grant that I have turned off in Illinois that would help law enforcement, and I will work with you. But you have not done that.
The National Guard
is on the way right now as we speak. Oh, by the way, so is Director Patel and Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. You're sitting here grilling me, and they're on their way to Chicago to keep your state safe.
Madam Attorney General, it's my job
to grill
you. Well,
Pam Bondi obviously dropping that news for us right now. So far, doing a decent job, I'd say, going after the senator, because obviously Dick Durbin doesn't really care for the American people. He's one of the many Democratic senators who has been absolutely useless and has been a part of all of the deep state operatives and what they've all wanted him to carry out. So interesting start off to the Senate hearing going on right now. We'll continue to bring that to you, plus a lot more after the break. Do not go anywhere. We've got more to dive into.
The receiver from the state is coming here tomorrow. I'm going to be friendly, but they're here to start the shutdown of InfoWars. So for all of you saying, oh, you'll survive forever. Well, they don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. That's why we're running the biggest sale in our history. Buy one, get one free of any of the incredible supplements, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, you name it. The problem is they didn't have big supplies to catch 22. So a lot of the sale has had to end because things have sold out at the AlexJonesStore.com, the last stand super sale, 20% on top of buy one, get one free. But we do have Ultramethylene Blue Liquid, the very best you're going to get, the Ultimate Sea Moss Gummies, the incredible super nutrient, amazing, and the Shilajit Capsules, the very best. Shilajit. All these are super complex nutrients. You're insane if you don't get them. Just like our information is powerful, these products are incredible. 20% off store-wide on top of those sales. And if you have the app that we'll put on screen, AlexJonesApp.com takes you right to Apple. The Droid launches in a few days. Number one in news, in the top 150 of total apps in the world out of 1.6 million. AlexJonesApp.com. If you buy through the shopping cart on the app, you get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free at AlexJonesApp.com. It's a free app on Apple. Despite them trying to delist it and block it, it's still surging. The AlexJonesStore.com. Access it through AlexJonesApp.com and get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free. And they're going to have to end the Ultramethylene Blue sometime probably tomorrow. Current sales rates is going to sell out. War comes in 3 weeks. They're going to have to end the CMOS gummies in about 2 days and the Shilajit in about 3. So everything else is basically sold out. So they're going back to regular price and they'll be totally sold out in a few days, period. But that funds the operation. Well, thanks for your support. TheAlexShow.com. But you are insane if you don't try the ultramethylene blue. It will game change your life, and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. It's game time.
Today, a lot going on right now over in the Senate, especially because Pam Bondi is speaking to the Senate Judiciary Committee right now. They just asked her about Epstein. Nothing new coming from that, though. I've had my ear to the hearing, so I'll make sure to bring it to you when we finally do have some breaking news. But nothing new coming from that. Bondi still, again, trying to downplay all the things related to Epstein. And so we will continue to listen there. But folks, a lot more happening right now. We also, this morning, to kick off the show, received some new declassified documents from the CIA, which outline Joe Biden, when he was VP, trying his very best to shut down any type of investigation or any type of information coming out to the American people regarding his family's ties to Ukraine. Even Ukrainian officials thinking his business dealings in Ukraine were extremely suspicious, and they were flagging that. So we're learning more about how far Joe Biden, then VP of the United States of America, went to make sure that the American people didn't know how corrupt his family was. No surprise there. We'll continue to see that all through as more information drops from there. But we are also keeping our eye as well on Arctic Frost, because that's where all the corrupt individuals within the deep state operatives were coming out, and they were coming after all of President Trump's allies, his attorneys, trying to go after their financial records to see if they could fight off the lawfare, to see if they could pin any type of corruption or any type of crime on them. And obviously, we now know they were unable to do just that. But all of a sudden, there's a group of senators who are upset because they found out that the Biden regime was spying on them. Mr. Jack Smith, the special prosecutor who really wasn't supposed to be special prosecutor in the first place, well, he was going after these senators. Where does someone who is just a special prosecutor get going off at GOP senators and trying to get their phone records? One really must ask that question. Again, though, there is not a single person that has been arrested from the Obama-Biden regime. And so while we sit here and we learn more and more about how deep the corruption actually went, there's nothing happening that we could see in front of our eyes right now. Now, again, when the roles were reversed and the Biden regime needed to cook up fake crimes, they were able to do so on the fly. And so, again, it just highlights some of the lawfare. But it's not just that. When it comes to Arctic Frost, there were many patriots who were targeted, including Jeff Clark. Jeff Clark ran two divisions over at the DOJ, and they tried their very best to go after him. They charged him in Fulton County along with President Trump in what is now confirmed a fake lawfare. It's a real lawfare attack, but it was a fake RICO case from the very beginning. It has now been officially shut down. They also are trying to disbar him in D.C. But there's new news, and we're optimistic. And Jeff Clark's attorney is going to be joining us in just a few moments to break down that, because Jeff's been in this fight for over 4 years trying to defend his license to practice law because, well, they didn't like the fact that he was standing up for the American people and making sure that our elections were safe and secure. At the time, he's running two divisions over the DOJ, and they went after him. They went after him. So we do have good news on that front that we'll bring you in just a few moments with Jeff's attorney joining us as well. We're continuing to keep our eye, obviously, on the Senate hearing that is going on, but there's a lot going on all around the country in regards to left-wing terrorists. Left-wing terrorists that are continuously going out there in Portland and Chicago. We also just heard from Pam Bondi saying that Kash Patel, the FBI director, as well as the deputy AG, Todd Blanche, are going right now to Chicago. Probably where you're going to want to be these days, considering the fact that left-wing terrorists have targeted their agents there. So we're going to follow that as well. So there's a lot going on right now all across the country. We have a ton of incredible individuals joining us today. So we're going to keep our eyes on all of that. And I want to remind you all at the AlexJonesStore.com right now, we have the Last Stand Super Sale going on right now. Head on over there because we don't know how long this sale's going to last. InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week or even today, and that's why we've launched this sale. It's going to go and help us fund our next operation and keep us in the fight on this information war. So we're passing on those savings to you, 20% off site-wide. Buy one, get one free on some supplements while supplies last. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and buy up everything that you can now. All right, more on the way.
And they'll be like, all shows are running in, it got shut down. We've been fighting it, we don't want it. But yeah, it's happening, but they don't own thealexjonesstore.com. And we have the last stand super sale. Buy one bottle, get any bottle free of any of the supplements, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, the very best. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, go now to alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com, and get download the free app, listen to the show, and share it. We love our Muslims too. Oh, they so good. Oh, they so sweet. Oh, wow. Be sure to get the app right now, folks, and share it right now. I'm just saying that bang on the head. You realize, Matthew, it's the viewers and listeners in this. It ain't me, brother.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you are all joining us today. There's a lot going on across the country. We're keeping our eyes on everything. AG Pam Bondi is testifying right now in the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we're watching that as it unravels. She was asked questions about Jeffrey Epstein, but nothing new from that. So we'll bring it to you when something does break. But it's very important that we remember what the Biden regime has put us all through. The lawfare attacks were very relentless against those who were close Trump allies. And now we're starting to figure out how far they actually went. And there's a lot of outrage from local lawmakers, of course, in D.C. They're very angry to find out that they were spied on by people like Jack Smith. But there have been so many Americans who have been attacked over these last few years, including Jeff Clark, who's I wouldn't say celebrating his 4-year anniversary, but he's looking over what happened 4 years ago when Senator Dick Durbin, the individual we just heard from on the Judiciary Committee going after Pam Bondi, decided to send a letter to the D.C. Office of Disciplinary Counsel seeking to disbar him, even though he never testified in front of Senator Durbin. Now, it was the beginning of so far a 4-plus-year lawfare attack. They really went after Jeff Clark relentlessly. In case you don't know, Jeff Clark ran two divisions under President Trump's first term in the White House. He was brave enough to speak up on the behalf of the American people to try to defend our elections. And just for doing that, they did target him, and they went after him with the very full force of the federal government, plus also the D.C. bar. They tried their very best to even lock up Jeff in Fulton County. He was one of the co-defendants in that RICO case that is no longer. But again, it has been a very big fight for Jeff to take on. And there's starting to be some kind of positive views in all of this. We are now learning that the DOJ, we're also seeing that Mike Davis, who is obviously a patriot, are all coming to Jeff's defense. Joining us now to discuss is Harry McDougall. He is Jeff Clark's attorney, and he's been in this fight with Jeff for quite some time. So I want to thank Harry for joining us today. Jeff is one of my close friends because he's a patriot, and so it's an honor to have you on the show today, Harry. I wanted to talk to you about what's been going on in D.C. because there's new updates. Obviously, the D.C. bar recommending that he is disbarred, but there's a lot of great people who are jumping to his defense. So give us the very latest on what's going on in Clark's case.
Sure. So the procedural step we're at the moment is responding to what's called a show cause order as to why Jeff should not be suspended during the pendency of the appeal in the D.C. Court of Appeals. And we were very pleased to have amicus briefs filed in support of Jeff's position on the question of interim suspension, including yesterday by the United States government through the Department of Justice. That is a big deal, we think, because it vindicates arguments that we've made from the beginning back in the fall of 2021, or the late fall of 2021 and early 2022, and from that day forward. So it vindicates arguments that we have made. We also received strong amicus support from Mike Davis and the Article 3 Project, America First Legal, and a group of nine lawyers, many of whom are at the National Civil Liberties Alliance, but others. And it's been very gratifying to see the cavalry come over the hill because it's been a long road for Jeff. But obviously, we've got a long way to go still. But we're very hopeful that the D.C. Court of Appeals will correct what we think is a bar disciplinary process that has gone far, far off the rails.
Yeah, and you're not alone in that, too, because Jeff's former boss, Bill Barr, is also against disbarring Jeff. That was very big news. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I forgot to mention that. We received an extremely powerful amicus brief from three former attorneys general, being Bill Barr, Jeff Sessions, and Michael Mukasey. And they join a fourth attorney general, Ed Meese, who testified for us at Jeff's bar hearing. And I would venture to say that in the history of bar discipline, there have never been four attorneys general supporting the position in one form or another of the respondent attorney. But that's how unusual this case is, to draw the support of four attorneys general and the United States government. That's how far off track the D.C. bar has gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say. And it's interesting to see that it's Bill Barr who is jumping to his defense and to make sure that this doesn't happen. I think that's an incredible, incredible update on all of this. And it gives a smile. It brings a smile to my face because I know Jeff's been fighting for this long and hard. For the last 4 years, he's been dragged through the mud when he didn't do anything wrong and everything that he was accused of was false information. But again, it's the lawfare attacks that they pushed against anyone who wanted to help out President Trump and carry out their duties. And that's exactly all that Jeff was doing. And we also learn, obviously, that Fulton County is no longer going to be, we hope, going after Jeff, but it looks like everything's kind of fallen apart there. What's your take on what's going on in Fulton County thus far?
So that case is not dead yet. You might say it's mostly dead, to borrow a line from Princess Bride, but it's been referred to a body here called the Prosecuting Attorneys Council, and they will review the file to see what disposition ought to be made of the case. And part of that is to determine whether any other district attorneys or other potential special prosecutors might be interested in taking the case. I think that's very unlikely. The case is irreparably tainted by what has happened up to this point, and the case is built on a house of cards of very fragile and poorly conceived legal theories. So I think the case will ultimately go away. If it gets picked back up, we will press a number of our defenses for Clark, which I think will ultimately be upheld either in the trial court or in the appellate courts.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Hopefully the case will be dismissed against Jeff. It never should have been filed against him. It's a perfectly ridiculous legal theory against him. I mean, absolutely preposterous.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that they filed it in the first place over a letter that was never actually sent over there is infuriating.
Yes.
But it's one of the many things that they did to Jeff over the years. They even raided his home, folks. In case you haven't read into Jeff's story, I've been trying to send out the message of what was going on to Jeff all these years. But they raided his home and they had no problem posting a screenshot image and making it public record of what happened when he was dragged out of his home. They didn't even allow Jeff to put his pants on. He was sleeping in the middle of the night. They were looking to embarrass him. And again, this is the many layers of lawfare. It's all about embarrassing individuals. It's all about bankrupting individuals. It's all about dragging you through this persecution. And so, you know, we're excited to hear that Jeff is on, hopefully on the positive side of all of this very, very soon. I'm very optimistic for all of this. Harry, when do you expect to hear back from the DC bar on the updates in regards to possibly disbarring him?
So the D.C. Court of Appeals has ordered the disciplinary counsel to file a response to our briefing on whether he ought to be interim suspended. And that's going to be due October 20th. So the decision on interim suspension would be made sometime after that. But I do want to say the quality of the amicus briefs that have been filed by the people we've discussed is absolutely outstanding. These are very powerful arguments, very well stated, and we are hopeful that the D.C. Court of Appeals will not interim suspend and ultimately will dismiss the case on the merits. We think that's where the law requires they go. I mean, the entire case is based on the idea that proposing a change in policy in a confidential setting is attempted dishonesty. That is fatuous nonsense. The entire case is based on a ridiculous idea. And so it really never should have been brought. And now that we've reached this point, it should be thrown out.
It should be thrown out. We're hopeful that that's going to be the case. Harry McDougall, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing with Jeff. He really needed a good fighter in this, and I'm excited that he did find you. And I'm excited for the news that is going to come soon, because I have a good feeling, a strong feeling, that all of this will soon end and Jeff will be able to live stress-free once it is completely finished. So thank you, Harry. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much for your interest and your good wishes. We need it.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. You guys have my full support. Thank you so much. Harry's doing an incredible job at fighting the good fight with Jeff Clark, and we greatly appreciate him for doing so. It's not an easy battle to take on, and especially when you see that they're going after lawyers who were supporting President Trump and helping him through his legal challenges, which he had a right to do, to be an attorney and to help to take on that fight. It really does show Harry's character. And so we're thankful that he joined us on this very busy morning. I want to dip back in right now to the hearing that's going on right now with AG Pam Bondi, because it looks like there's a bit of an exchange going on. So let's take a listen.
I don't understand why we don't have a separate hearing. I find this breathtaking.
Yeah. It's just been 24 hours since the FBI investigated on it. Please give me an opportunity to sort through all this.
Fair enough. I just don't want to wait 24 years to get an answer.
Yeah. We do have an active investigation going on through my staff. I want to make that very clear. Mr. Whitehouse, or Senator Whitehouse.
Thank you, Chairman. Ms. Bondi, good morning.
Good morning.
What became of the $50,000 in cash that the FBI paid to Mr. Homan in a paper bag, evidently?
Senator, as Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche recently stated, the investigation of Mr. Homan was subjected to a full review by the FBI, agents, and DOJ prosecutors. They found no credible evidence of any wrongdoing.
And that was not my question. My question was, what became of the $50,000 in cash that the FBI delivered, evidently in a paper bag, to Mr. Homan?
Senator, I'd look at your facts.
Are you saying that they did not deliver $50,000 in cash to Mr. Homan?
Senator, as recently stated, the investigation of Mr. Homan was subjected to a full by the FBI agents, Department of Justice prosecutors. They found no evidence of wrongdoing.
That's a different question. What became of the $50,000? Did the FBI get it back?
Mr. Whitehouse, excuse me, Senator Whitehouse, you're welcome to talk to the FBI.
The report to you. Can't you answer this question?
Senator Whitehouse, you're welcome to discuss this with Director Patel.
Did Homan keep the $50,000?
As Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche recently stated, the investigation
I can see I'm not going to get a straight answer from you to a very simple question.
By the FBI agents and the DOJ.
They found
no credible evidence of wrongdoing. You know, you're very concerned about money and people taking money, and you work with dark money groups all the time, Senator Whitehouse.
Did you know whether or not in that investigation they looked at whether the 2024 $50,000 payment to Mr. Homan was declared by him on his tax returns?
Senator, I would be more concerned if I were you when you talk about corruption and money. that when you pushed for legislation that would subsidize your wife's company?
The questions here are actually pretty specific. So having you respond with completely irrelevant far-right internet talking points really is not very helpful here. I'd like, Mr. Chairman, you generally like to have us be able to get answers to know, and we'll follow up with the QFR. And to the extent Patel wants to answer, that would be great as well. What happened to the $50,000? Did Homan keep it? Did the FBI get it back? If he kept it, did he put it on his tax returns? Pretty simple questions. Homan was the same guy who said there was a deal with Eric Adams. He said, if Adams doesn't come through, I'll be back. I'll be in his office up his butt saying, where the hell is the agreement we came to? Which brings us to the OPR investigation of prosecutorial misconduct by Emil Bovee, because he was also involved in that transaction.
Yeah.
What became of the OPR investigation of prosecutorial misconduct by Emil Bovee?
Yeah, Senator Whitehouse, to correct you for one moment, that would be the Honorable Judge Emil J. Bovee III to you.
Not at the time of this. He was an employee of the Department of Justice. And what became of the OPR investigation?
It's all pending litigation, Senator. I can't discuss pending litigation nor personnel matters.
OPR customarily publicly says when there is an investigation, and at the end of it, they provide a summary. Why can't you say whether there is an OPR investigation and whether, if it's concluded, there's a summary?
Senator, I'm not going to discuss personnel matters.
Even public ones.
Senator, I'm not going to discuss personnel matters.
So, Kash Patel told this committee that his grand jury testimony after immunization, after initially pleading the fifth, was, and I quote, sealed by the Department of Justice. How and when and why was his testimony sealed, and by whom?
Senator, I'm not going to discuss any testimony, especially testimony that could be sealed, with you.
No, the question is, was it or was it not sealed?
Senator, I'm not going to discuss that with you.
Well, he also said that he worked with the Department of Justice to have his transcript released publicly. How and when was his transcript released? Presumably, if he released it publicly, that's something you can discuss because it's public.
Well, Senator, I believe you discussed that with Director Patel.
And I'm asking you, because he said the Department of Justice made this decision and you run the Department of Justice.
I would refer that to Director Patel.
Even though you run the Department of Justice and he testified that the Department of Justice released his transcript publicly.
If it is released publicly, we will get you a copy, Senator, gladly.
If, being a rather important word there, when your FBI director testified that that was a fact. Treasury compiles suspicious activity reports, referred to often as SARs, that DOJ receives automatically. Hundreds related to accounts of Jeffrey Epstein. How many of those Treasury SARs did you or Director Patel investigate?
Senator, I'm not sure if you're concerned because you took money, I believe, did you, from Reid Hoffman, one of Epstein's closest confidants, not only once but twice in 2018 and 2024, if that's correct. But, Senator, did you ask Merrick Garland any of this over the last 4 years when he sat before you?
This investigation has been going on.
This investigation was closed. Did you ask Alex Acosta
when
that?
And Patel came to office. You said you would look into this. There were hundreds of suspicious activity reports. Some people would deduce from the fact that they are called suspicious activity reports that there might be suspicious activity. And yet you seem to have looked at zero of those suspicious activity reports involving Jeffrey Epstein accounts. Let me ask you something else. There's been public reporting that Jeffrey Epstein showed people photos of President Trump with half-naked young women. Do you know if the FBI found those photographs in their search of Jeffrey Epstein's safe or premises or otherwise? Have you seen any such thing?
You know, Senator Whitehouse, you sit here and make salacious remarks, once again trying to slander President Trump left and right, when you're the one who was taking money from one of Epstein's closest confidants, I believe, I could be wrong, correct me, Reid Hoffman, who was with Jeffrey Epstein on multiple occasions. And the senator sitting right next to you tried to block the flight logs from being released. Yet you're grilling me on President Trump and some photograph with Epstein? Come on.
The question is, did the FBI find those photographs that have been discussed publicly by a witness who claimed Jeffrey Epstein showed them to him? You don't know anything about that. Okay. Here's what some, well, now we cut to something else. The Marshal Service is supposed to protect our federal judges. I have asked repeatedly for the Marshal Service to let me know if they are investigating or being inhibited from investigating whether or not there is orchestration of threats against federal judges, whether under either conspiracy laws or racketeering enterprise laws or aiding and abetting laws, whatever. But as you know, there's the person who says the threat, and then there may very well be somebody orchestrating the threat behind them. Mm-hmm. Is the Marshal Service allowed to investigate orchestration of threats, and do you know if they've taken one step to do so?
May I answer the question, Chairman Grassley? The time has expired.
I think it's the convention of the committee that if I've started my question in my time, you may answer the question.
I was asking the chairman.
Okay, before I go to corner, she
wants
to
answer the question. I'm going to dip out of this for a second because Pam Bondi being grilled a bit on the Epstein files, and she has a valid point, right? These Democrats did nothing for these last 4 years. If they really wanted to get to the root of all of this, they would have asked and requested this information with the prior administration. But they didn't care. They still don't care. They're just doing this to go after President Trump. And that's what's exactly what's going on right now. So Bondi calling him on that, plus the allegations that he did not deny, by the way, that he was receiving financial incentives, financial donations from Reid Hoffman. Notice how he didn't deny that, and she gave him the opportunity to do it. So he didn't bite there. Interesting also to hear her defense and the Tom Homan report, which many mainstream outlets are saying that the DOJ, the FBI, they are very well aware as to Tom Homan potentially taking money in exchange for potential government contracts. Again, Homan denying all of that, but Pam Bondi not giving us much in the way of information on that during her testimony. So a lot more to dive into. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. The stand, the last stand super sale is going on right now. And again, it's 20% off site wide, plus buy one, get one free on supplements. So this is the time now to buy up everything you want, because again, we don't know how long it's going to last. It's while supplies last, and they might lock the front door. Maybe next week, maybe today, we don't know. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. There's more underway in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, the last stand super sale. InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week, today or tomorrow, actually, or even today. That's why we are launching this last stand super sale to fund the next operation and keep us in the fight in the information war. Buy any supplement at thealexjonesstore.com that's still funding InfoWars and get another bottle free while supplies last. That's a huge, biggest sell we can do. Plus, get 20% off store-wide. Woo! We've never done a sale. Actually, I'm reading this now. I've been so busy. I looked at the sale. This is the biggest sale ever. We've never done a sale this big, but we need your support now more than ever. Plus, some of this stuff's a lost leader. We know when you try the Ultimate Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Ultimate Life Force, the bovine colostrum, we've got the best. If we have 80%+ reorder rates on this stuff, nobody's got that, folks. Just try it. You're supporting the broadcast, and then you're going to love it. You're going to be hooked. It's why the drug dealers hand out OxyContin to kids on the school ground because they want to get them addicted. Well, that's poison. This is good. I just am telling you, will you please stick your toe in? The water's warm. This sale could end at any moment, so go now to thealexjonesstore.com, which I don't own, which Bigley owns, and so they're funding InfoWars and the new backup network, everything, so they can't shut that down. thealexjonesstore.com. And take advantage of this amazing sale while ensuring we will never be taken off the air, even if they shut down this operation. InfoWars is just a name, but the InfoWar goes on. Remember, you are the InfoWar. Plus, download. Now, here's the big announcement. Bigley, again, owns the Alex Jones Network, all of it. And they launched this incredible app that shot up into the top of the charts in hours after being launched. I haven't looked since last night. But used to we had the number one app, remember, until they banned it. Number one in news. You think they like that? Well, we're back, sweethearts. And ban this app. Watch what happens. You'll get a nice little Justice Department investigation. If you're in a different wheelhouse now. You go to AlexJonesApp.com. AlexJones app.com. Boy, the sound of that name. Alex Jones. The Satanists don't like it. It's like high noon to vampires. App users get special sales, promos, and discounts every day. As well, but listen to the show for free, video, audio, all of it at the URL that the globalist and the pedos and the Satanist hate, alexjonesapp.com. Be sure to get the app right now, folks, and share it right now. When you support us, when you go to the alexjonesstore.com, you aren't just funding this information that's key to the world. You're keeping us in the fight, and the enemy cannot stand it. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Declassified a very interesting document, which of course outlines the endless corruption amongst those within the Obama-Biden regime. That document saying that even Ukrainian officials were really, I guess they didn't really like, they felt very uncomfortable when they were looking at the Biden family business deals with Ukrainian companies. Surprise, surprise. Obviously, those within Biden's camp didn't want this getting out. And there's an email that says just that. They didn't want the CIA releasing this, the NSA releasing this. But here we are today. It's heavily redacted, obviously. But we're finally learning more and more about what you already knew was going on. This just verifies everything we've been telling you over the last, decade. So we're learning more on that front. AG Panbani's testifying right now over in the Senate Judiciary Committee. When we see breaking news going on there, we'll bring it to you. Right now, it's pretty blah. Got to be honest with you, not learning much. There's John Cornyn, a deep state operative. My personal beliefs, of course. He has done the due diligence for the deep state rather than Texans, and hopefully he will be replaced very, very soon with AG Ken Paxton. But we'll keep our eyes on everything going on there. We'll also keep detailing how, Jack Smith decided to spy on GOP senators. There's a group of them who held a press conference yesterday because they were so enraged when they found out. But if you're wondering how many of them are actually going to do anything about it, it's probably zero. The only fighter in the group was Senator Tommy Tuberville. The rest of them, not so much when it comes to fighting. And it's really interesting, too, because these are people who I would say are rhinos, like Lindsey Graham. Marsha Blackburn's okay. But what are they going to do about it? You and I both know that answer. Even Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida actually tweeted it out just moments ago saying, what are you going to do about it? Now that we know that they were spying on you, trying to listen in on your calls, see who you were calling, what are you going to do about it? And that's why these deep state operatives are so emboldened to go after Republicans and do things like this, obviously unconstitutional, because they know you're not going to do anything about it. They know Republicans will just continue to play footsie with those across the aisle, and they won't address any of these issues. Press conferences, they're all fake outraged. And then they move on. And then they move on. You know, you'd think, and obviously, folks, DeSantis is right on the money with this one, but you'd think that there would be some action. Finally. Because now, rhinos are even realizing that they were targeted by the Biden regime, no matter what they did, and the lack of what they did, I should say, over these last 4+ years, they still couldn't be in these deep state operatives' good graces. And they were looking to go after them too. You see, this is why it's so important when you see things that are going on, and although you might think, oh, it's those on the far right, that you jump in, you say something about it, because you will be next. I say it all the time. When you decide not to speak up, you're not buying yourself immunity. You're buying yourself time. It's exactly what they all have done over these last 4+ years. So now they're outraged. They get their Fox News hit. Laura Ingraham can't stop covering it. Sean Hannity can't stop covering it. But what comes of it? The answer is nothing. We've seen this story play out time and time again. Like a never-ending fake outrage book that you just keep turning the page and it's more drama that goes nowhere because everyone's a coward. So I'm not really surprised in any of this, and I'm not going to pretend to be surprised in any of this. Let's head over to Chicago because we heard AG Pam Bondi talk about how FBI Director Kash Patel, the deputy AG, Todd Blanche, is on their way. They're en route right now to Chicago. We detailed it for you yesterday. Obviously, federal agents were attacked in the suburbs in Chicago. But there's a lot of politicians who are pretending like everything's okay in Chicago and they don't need any type of federal intervention. Although federal agents who are currently there just doing their jobs, taking the most disgusting human beings off of the streets, violent criminals, violent illegal aliens, people who have violated our country's laws, they're taking them off the streets. There's individuals who are targeting ICE agents, ramming their cars, cornering them in, and they are trying their best to go after them. And time again, we continue to learn more and more about this. And Democrats just say there's nothing here. Look the other way. And it's interesting because I see how all of these individuals are constantly calling out those who support ICE to do its jobs. They're calling them out as a bunch of racists. It's the argument that's constantly made. And so I'm not too surprised about all of this. But the reality is Democrats have really used words to go after those who are just trying to carry out their jobs. And we're going to go to clip 9 because a high-ranking Chicago gang member officially put a bounty on the head of a very high-up ICE official. Take a listen.
We have other breaking news that we're following this afternoon. A high-ranking member of a street gang is charged with putting a hit out on a senior law enforcement official involved with Operation Midway Blitz. Police arrested 37-year-old Juan Espinoza Martinez this morning. And according to the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Chicago, Martinez sent a Snapchat message stating, quote, 2K on information when you get him and 10K if you take him down. The Tribune reports the alleged target was Border Patrol Chief Gregory Bovino. A court date has not been set.
Oh, we were told that that wasn't happening. It turns out it was. Surprise, surprise. You see, those in Chicago have been extremely violent with ICE agents, and so it's no surprise that they are literally gunning for them. They're literally putting bounties on these officials' heads. Not surprising at all. Democrats, in fact, encourage it. We saw a very damning report come out over the weekend, though, in regards to Chicago PD refusing to help ICE agents as they were being pinned down by these radical left-wing terrorists. They're actually following ICE agents all around the city into the suburbs, and they're doing their very best to stop them from doing their jobs, ramming their cars, like 10 cars, cornering them in, which obviously gives you as an officer the impression that you are being ambushed. In fact, one of those individuals who was leading, you could call it like a caravan of left-wing terrorists, was actually armed. She has since been arrested. Previously, she was on ICE's radar because she was doxing agents, according to them. And then we heard that Chicago PD put out an alert saying, don't help out these federal agents. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. But see, things seem to be changing a bit. You're going to hear from the Chicago police superintendent, who is now saying that if you decide to go after ICE agents, use your vehicles to go after them, well, they do have a right to use deadly force. Take a listen.
Federal agents, ICE, HSI, are officers. They are agents of law enforcement. If you box them in with vehicles, it is reasonable for them to believe that they are being ambushed and that this could end in a deadly situation. And it's reasonable for them to use force based on those conditions. Do not box in any law enforcement officer. You are breaking the law when you do that. And you are putting yourself in danger. Following law enforcement agents around, the question is why? What do you plan on doing? It's also reasonable for them to believe that you're eventually going to do harm to them. If you ram any vehicle, especially that one that contains law enforcement agents, and that's any law enforcement, local, state, federal, county, and you do this intentionally, this is considered deadly force. Deadly force is anything that can cause great bodily harm or death. When you plow into a vehicle that contains law enforcement agents, you're using deadly force, and they can use deadly force in response to stop you. We need to be clear about these laws. We cannot become a society where we just decide to take everything in our own hands and start to commit crimes against law enforcement. It is a crime. You may not like what they're doing. I can understand that there's a lot of emotions out there, but that does not mean that you get to commit a crime, especially one that could lead to deadly force.
Well, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Finally, Chicago PD is starting to make some sense in all of this, and they're warning those who decide to go after ICE agents that, listen, if you get shot, you only have yourself to blame there. You see, the fact that this weekend, when these federal agents were under attack, that Chicago PD didn't have their backs is very, very alarming. In clip three, we hear that Stephen Miller is really going after the governor. Now, hear me out, folks. we've sat here and listened to Democrats. They continue to downplay everything that you see going on in your own state. If you live, obviously, in Illinois, if you live in other states that are dealing with all of this, you've seen time and time again how these far left wing terrorists have completely taken over cities. Stephen Miller's had enough of this. He's calling it out. Take a listen.
First of all, he uses the term, think about this, he uses the term invasion force. This fool, Governor Pritzker, uses the term invasion force to describe federal law enforcement. He is adopting the language and the narrative of the paid insurrectionists and the Antifa mobs. The invasion force were the 20 million illegal aliens that Biden flooded into this country, taking our jobs, taking our wages, filling up our hospitals, destroying God knows how many schools, and of course leading to countless rapes, assaults, and murders. That was the invasion force. President Trump was elected on a mandate to turn that invasion back, to send those illegals home. And Governor Pritzker is providing aid and comfort to the riotous mob that is physically assaulting, obstructing, impeding, and attacking ICE officers. And his latest act, declaring that there are no-go zones where federal law enforcement is not permitted, is truly an act of insurrection against the federal government.
Now, he's also referring to Chicago Mayor Brandon Jackson, I believe his name is. Johnson. Thank you, guys. He is a communist who was elected because there's low voter turnout in Chicago. His approval ratings, according to the DOJ, I think were around 6%. But he is running Chicago, and he is trying to create these ICE-free zones because, you know, he doesn't want ICE arresting the criminals that are in Chicago. One would think, you know, when you have dozens and dozens of individual citizens who live in your city getting shot every weekend, that you'd actually side with them. But that's not what Democrats do. You know, Brandon is a communist. We keep saying that. I keep highlighting that for you. He doesn't shy away from it. He's very open about being a Marxist animal. He hates the people in his city. He wants nothing but harm for them because, again, he's not looking to help protect them. And so when you create these fake ICE-free zones, which, again, the federal government's not going to have to comply with, you moron, you're looking to do, obviously, a PR stunt, as if you think you have legal grounds for any of this. But you're also putting non-U.S. citizens above the people who elected you into your position. And that's what's going on in Chicago. The idiocy that is on the left isn't shy of just, you know, Brandon Johnson and a couple of other Democrats. AOC is like the queen of all of this. And, you know, I was actually kind of hopeful when I saw that there was a young woman running for the seats in the Bronx. And I was like, wow, maybe she'll, and then it quickly ended when I heard her talk the first time. But, she is just one, not only the dumbest member of Congress, definitely a runner up behind, you know, Jasmine Crockett, but she is also someone who goes out there all the time and just spews nothing but just hatred and tries her very best to turn what you would say is just something you'd probably post on social media. She tries to make it mainstream, and she says it during interviews, and she thinks she's funny, and she's not very funny. We're going to play clip 5 for you because here she is going after Stephen Miller, who's a patriot and just trying to do his job and protect the American people, which obviously makes him an enemy. Take a listen.
Is that they are scrapping and grasping at straws because they have nothing else. Laugh at them. Stephen Miller is a clown. I've never seen that guy in real life, but he looks like he's like 4'10". And he looks like he is angry about the fact that he's 4'10". And he looks like he is so mad that he is 4'10", that he's taking that anger out at any other population possible. Like, laugh at them. Yes, they are dangerous. Yes, we're here to be strong for one another. We need to expose the lies. We need to never let off the gas when it comes to protecting one another, exposing the lies, documenting things. We're seeing this too, right? And so I think this is just, I think it's very important.
All right, let me step in on this because she's a moron. You're probably losing IQ points if you're listening to this right now. But Stephen Miller is actually 5'10". He is not 4'10". And he resembles more so resembles a man more than her own fiance. So she could shove that up hers. She continues to go out there and just be nasty and just be nasty. Stephen Miller is obviously a very intelligent person, and she can't argue facts with him. So she's either calling him names or she's trying to attack his physical appearance. But God forbid if Stephen Miller were to go after her for her physical appearance, maybe crack a joke or two about the fact that she's gained a lot of weight over these last few months, it'd be off with Stephen Miller's head. You see the double standard, of course. They are okay with going after men, but if you dare go after a liberal woman who is anything but attractive, they will come for you. The mob will come after you. And so here we are sitting back and watching AOC just continue to marinate her audience in stupidity, but it's not, you know, really surprising. They don't have much. They don't have the facts on their side. That's why it's always an emotional argument. That's why it's always name calling. That's why it's going after his appearance. She's hoping that maybe something will stick in his head, but she's wrong. She's very, very wrong. Again, it just seems like the AOCs over on the left just keep mutilating and they keep creating more and more, and they get worse and worse as things go on. As things go on. But again, they don't want you talking about the actual facts in all of this, because the reality is ICE is taking sexual predators off the streets. And obviously, if you're someone like AOC, those are your new voter base. And so you don't want them taking off these predators off the street, and you're getting very, very upset about it. But time and time again, I tell you guys, I get the emails from DHS every single day. They are going out there and taking horrible human beings off of our streets. The Biden regime allowed those who were convicted of sex crimes in other countries to come into our country. And now the Trump administration has to go find those animals and take them out. And so they don't want you knowing this. There's a long list that was posted yesterday, and it just keeps going on about all of the predators that have just recently been taken off the streets. There's one individual in the long list that just recently dropped, and I'll just kind of give you an idea of what we're talking about here. He's a Mexican national who's been convicted and arrested for domestic violence, theft, DUI, and criminal transmission of HIV. So Democrats want people like this individual, Antonio Rodriguez. This is according to the information put out by DHS. They want him still to be on our streets. Why? Do you want him to possibly give HIV to someone else? Again, the list is very, very long. It's all people accused of assault, convicted of assault, possession of a firearm by a felon, carjacking, armed carjacking. I mean, the list goes on. Even one charged with murder, possession of cocaine. Another one, convicted sex offender against children. His victim was a child. But these are who Democrats are really gunning for these days. These are who Democrats are gunning for these days. Now, President Trump, he's speaking out on the issue. He actually, in clip 10, said that he is considering invoking the Insurrection Act. Take a listen.
Tomorrow weekend.
What? The Insurrection Act? Under what conditions or terms would you?
Well, I'd do it if it was necessary. So far, it hasn't been necessary. But we have an Insurrection Act for a reason. If I had to enact it, I'd do that. If people were being killed and courts were holding us up, or governors or mayors were holding us up, sure, I do that. I mean, I want to make sure that people aren't killed. We have to make sure that our cities are safe.
One would think that would be a top priority. Again, apparently it's political. It's demand safe cities in the United States, but not surprising. All right, guys, the government's still shut down. I think we're on day 6 at this point. Did you notice? I didn't really notice. Nothing has changed in my life, which is a good sign, because again, this shows what we could actually cut back on. And that's the reason why the left is pushing this as a tragedy. That's a tragedy. But government has grown significantly over the years, and we're finally learning where we could actually trim some of the fat. And Democrats continuing to block the reopening of the federal government while complaining about government being shut down, which is laughable. There's a new poll out that was just recently put out by Harvard, and I smell BS here, but let's read you some of the statistics that are being dropped. 70% of Americans oppose government shutdowns. 65% say Dems should agree to CR and end this. 62% believe Republicans win this war. That's 62% believe Republicans win this war. Interesting. I don't oppose a government shutdown. I think this is quite healthy. I think this is quite healthy. And I think and I encourage that there's more shutdowns. And I get it. This does affect a lot of things that we need throughout our country. I know there's a lot of issues with air traffic control. I heard earlier today also on Fox that they were talking about this. There's been issues with air traffic control all around the country for quite some time, given the fact that they forced individuals to take vaccines that were poison. So do I think it's related to government shutdowns? No. I think it's where you get a point and you could say, oh, look, your flights are all having issues. But they've had issues. But they've had issues. I want to turn to clip 11 because this one, again, is detailing how there was an air traffic control issue, a walkout that took place. Let's take a listen.
That's right, Colleen. In fact, we just spoke to air traffic controllers here at Burbank Airport in the last few minutes, and they can now confirm that they will be heading home at 4:15 this afternoon. As of 4:15 this afternoon, there will be no air traffic controllers inside of that tower right there. Instead, they will be handing off their duties to SoCal TRACON. It's their approach and departure team out of San Diego who will be talking to the pilots who are landing and taking off here at Burbank. They are hoping for minimal impacts on travelers, but it is still yet to be determined how severe those impacts will be. As of right now, the FAA is trying to call in additional controllers to come in early before those overnight hours, a fluid situation we're going to continue to stay on top of. Reporting live from Air 7, I'm Chris Christie, ABC 7, Eyewitness News.
We'll figure it out. We'll get our way through all of this. Again, I mean, a lot of this is going to be blamed on the shutdown. I don't think it's actually all shutdown related. I do believe if you probably looked at the roots of all of this, they probably had some other issues going on there. Hakeem Jeffries, though, he's not happy about the shutdown. He says, in fact, that since the last week meeting that they had with President Donald Trump, they haven't heard much from the White House. We're going to listen to clip 12 because in this, he's accusing of the White House of wanting the shutdown to inflict chaos onto the American people. Take a listen.
Have you had any conversations as of late with the president or the White House? And B, what do you make of his willingness maybe to strike a deal here?
Well, the White House has gone radio silent since the Oval Office meeting last Monday, and neither Leader Schumer or myself have heard a word from the administration about resolving this issue, making clear to us that the White House wanted to shut the government down to continue the chaos that they've been inflicting on the American people since day one of this presidency. It's an interesting statement that the president has made, and I think both House and Senate Democrats are clear. We'll sit down anytime, any place with anyone from your administration, including the president.
Never ending. I'm sure he's probably never reached out to the White House since that last meeting. Of course, he'll never tell you that, though. All right, there's more to unpack in the third hour of this program. Do not go anywhere. More corruption to expose in just a few moments.
The receiver from the state is coming here tomorrow. I'm going to be friendly, but they're here to start the shutdown of InfoWars. So for all of you saying, oh, you'll survive forever. Well, they don't own the AllieShowStore.com. That's why we're running the biggest sale in our history. Buy one, get one free of any of the incredible supplements, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, you name it. The problem is they didn't have big supplies to catch 22. So a lot of the sale has had to end because things have sold out at the AllieShowStore.com. The last stand super sale, 20% on top of buy one, get one free. But we do have Ultramethylene Blue liquid, the very best you're going to get. The ultimate CMOS gummies, the incredible super nutrient, amazing. And the Shilajit capsules, the very best. Shilajit. All these are super complex nutrients. You're insane if you don't get them. Just like our information is powerful, these products are incredible. 20% off store-wide on top of those sales. And if you have the app that we'll put on screen, alexjonesapp.com takes you right to Apple. The Droid launches in a few days. Number one in news, the top 150 of total apps in the world out of 1.6 million. alexjonesapp.com. If you buy through the shopping cart on the app, you get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free at alexjonesapp.com. AlexJonesApp.com. It's a free app on Apple. Despite them trying to delist it and block it, it's still surging. The AlexJonesStore.com, access it through AlexJonesApp.com and get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off, on top of the buy one, get one free. And they're going to have to end the ultramethylene blue sometime probably tomorrow. Current sales rates is going to sell out. War comes in 3 weeks. They're going to have to end the CMOS gummies in about 2 days and the Shilajit in about 3. So everything else is basically sold out. So they're going back to regular price and they'll be totally sold out a few days period. But that funds the operations. Well, thanks for your support. TheAlexShowStore.com. But you are insane if you don't try the ultramethylene blue. It will game change your life and it funds the second American revolution worldwide. It's game time.
There's been a lot going on. You know, we started off the show by getting a declassified document from the CIA, which outlines really just what we've known for quite some time, that the Biden family is extremely corrupt, but it kind of walks you through how bad things actually got. And although we detailed it for you at the top of the show, tomorrow I'm excited because we're going to have an incredible independent journalist on the program to help walk us through what she's uncovered from all of this, which is interesting enough because, again, folks, we're learning more and more on that front. So we look forward to doing that, do that deep dive and just, well, I guess next show. But again, this is the type of stuff that we're learning more and more about, how deep the corruption actually went. We knew what they were doing this whole time, but I mean, the fact that they didn't want the American people to know any of this, that in fact, the Ukrainian government officials from Ukraine were concerned with Biden and his personal dealings with Ukrainian businesses, they fought long and hard to suppress that information. So again, tomorrow we're going to do a deep dive on that front. But we have a lot more to unpack in the third hour of the program. Because again, a lot is happening in liberal cities. Portland, for an example, has been an absolute cesspool with liberals going out there and causing nothing but violence for those who are trying to cover what's actually happening in Portland. Nick Sorter, obviously, being assaulted multiple times. I think I've counted 3 times now. His attorney is going to be joining us later in the program because there might be a lawsuit. There might be a lawsuit filed against Portland PD. I'm going to ask him about that because there was a very strongly worded letter. But given the fact that Nick Sorter's attorney doesn't work for the government, this sounds like a letter that's probably going to have some action. And so I'll ask him about that in just a few moments. That'll be happening at the second half of our third hour. We're also going to hear from reporters that were on the ground who actually heard which is great. It's very, very interesting. How police in Portland were trying to deal with Antifa members and like give them some advice on how to avoid federal agents. Ben Berquam is going to be joining us. He is over with RAV. As many of you guys know, that's Real America Voice. He is one of their incredible journalists, incredible hosts who was front and center with Nick Sorter through all of this. He's joining the show. He recorded the footage of the interaction. So Ben Berquam is going to be joining us in just a few moments. I'm excited about that. I'm also really excited for the sale that's going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com because, again, it's not going to last forever. This will end soon. It's the last stand super sale. If you're wondering what that means you get 20% off store-wide. Also, in certain supplements, it's buy one, get one free still while supplies last. Again, we don't know how long this is going to last, so you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Now is the time to stock up on all of your favorite items because InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week or even today. And that's why we're launching this sale. Will help us fund our next operation because they want to shut us down. They don't like the fact that we've been telling you the truth. You know, everything that they're saying now, all these FBI reports, all these declassified CIA documents. It's not breaking news here because we've been telling you about it for years now. As an independent journalist, I've been talking about it. I know Alex has been talking about it. Harrison has been talking about it. And so that's why they're aggressively fighting to shut this network down. So if you support everything that we do, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com so we could fund our next operation. Keep us on the air, of course. All right, it's not just that, though. We are also still keeping our eye right now on AG Pam Bondi, who is still testifying in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And again, Democrats using the opportunity to grill her on Epstein. Nothing coming out from there, though. Nothing really breaking. Nothing we're learning. So far, everything seems to be pretty what we've already known standard. And so normally I would jump in on this, but I'm going to hold back a bit because, again, I don't want to waste your time. You've heard all of this before. There's tons of things going on all around the world that you need to be read in on, and I look forward to doing that in the third hour of the program. So you can't go anywhere. We've got more to dive into. Like I said, we have two incredible guests joining us in just a few moments. So stay put. We've got a lot more corruption and truth that needs to be exposed. So don't go anywhere.
Well, 48 hours ago, our sponsor, Bigly, launched Alex Jones app. Go to alexjonesapp.com and go right to the Apple Store. It's number one in the world in news, surpassing X, and is racing into the top 100 of total apps in the world. Great job, everybody. This is a real shot across the bow. For the censors, that is a big deal. I mean, we're ahead of Disney. We're ahead of Uber. We're ahead of everything. We're ahead of X. Number one in news in the world. Takes years to do that with an app. We've been number one before when they banned us in 2018. That took 5-6 years to get to that. Number one in 48 hours. Incredible job. Keep sharing the feed. You can't search it. They don't let you search the app, which every other app you can find. But you just go to alexjonesapp.com, and that takes you right to the subpage of the Apple Store. It's totally free. Right there, alexjonesapp.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at fan.video.
All right, welcome back to The American Journal. We're here in the third hour, and things are starting to get good over here. We've been following a lot of great stories. We're watching, we're keeping an eye as Pam Bondi testifies in front of the Senate right now. She's in front of the Judiciary Committee. A lot going on there. It looks like she's getting grilled a bit by Chris Coons, who's a Democrat in the Senate. Let's just dip in on this and take a listen.
...percent were terminated. 225 of the grant recipients have appealed that termination. And so far, we've turned back on 18 of those. 17 appeals have been denied. And the rest are being actively reviewed. If any of you know of any of those that you believe should be turned back on, call me. We don't want to jeopardize anything that's hurting. Please do. Yeah. And Senator, to go to what you said about the FBI and my federal agencies and being pulled to work on immigration cases, they're working hand in hand because we believe that we have ICE officers out there, as we just discussed. I don't want to repeat that, who are being harmed. We're going to work with them, and I've directed all of my law enforcement agencies to work with ICE to make sure they're safe in Chicago, to make sure they're safe in Memphis, to make sure they're safe right here in Washington, D.C., but also at President Trump's direction. We are not stopping the core function of what we're doing, and that is fighting violent crime. And I think Director Patel made that very clear with all of the arrests that our FBI have been making on violent criminals. And, there's so much that we can't talk about here. But if any of you are on the Intel Committee, you know we are fighting terrorists around this country every single day. Our lawyers are shut down right now. They're not getting paid. The crime is not stopping. They are working around the clock to not only keep our country safe, Senator, but to keep
okay, perfect.
World
I want to step
safe.
In on this because Madam Pam Bondi outlining that there are terrorists all around the world, but they're actually in this country thanks to the Biden regime. We know that there have been several terrorists caught, and thankfully due to the Trump administration, but there have been many terrorists caught so far who were able to make their way into the interior of the mainland because, well, we had open borders for the last 4 years. And so those who want to create and cause harm to the American people, well, they've been able to make their way into the country. But we also have a domestic terrorist issue here in the United States, and it's usually those on the left that we have to keep our eye on because, again, time and time again, we're watching as they continue to get violent, get increasingly violent, and go after anyone trying to expose their violence. And specifically, I'm talking about Antifa. because they're holding the city of Portland hostage. And unfortunately, Portland PD, well, they're not very efficient when it comes to responding to that. In fact, they're actually helping Antifa out. Now, we talked about it earlier in the week when we sat here and watched as Nick Sorter, someone who has a show on this network, was arrested. But he was assaulted at least on three different instances while being in Portland. Now, again, we've continued to call attention to all of this, and we are deeply concerned. But it's time to shift gears a little bit. Why is Portland police helping out Antifa? Why are they, instead of going after Antifa, who's taking over their streets and not allowing those who live in the area to walk around freely, like Nick Sorter, who's just trying to walk down a public street, why are they protecting these left-wing terrorists? Well, a very interesting video was posted on social media. We're going to play clip 22 for you because you're going to see Portland police trying to rationalize and help out Antifa. Take a listen.
We have a good reason why we actually need them. So that's why we're asking people to get out of the street. They could arrest you, but we're asking you guys voluntarily, let's just get on the sidewalks. Because if a car comes through and hits somebody, it's a better way for the government to stay.
And we do definitely need the feds. We definitely need the feds in here. Because your mayor is terrible. It's giving you terrible orders. You guys should be able to work with ICE.
What the heck is going on with Portland PD? Joining me to discuss the man you heard in that video, because he shot that video. Please welcome to the show, Ben Burquam. He joins the program today. He is one of the incredible hosts and reporters over at RAV, and he joins us now. We're very excited to have you in the program today, Ben, because just listening to all of this, there's definitely a couple of things I want to hit with you on this, but we're listening to Portland police trying to rationalize with domestic terrorists. We hear your reaction to all of this because it's so insane that you're watching this unravel in front of your eyes. Tell us a little bit about the incident.
Well, thanks for having me, Brianna. I witnessed it. I've witnessed it for the last 8 years. I was in Portland under President Trump's first term. I was in Berkeley as well, got attacked multiple times by Antifa. And then I watched Joe Biden allow the largest invasion into our country in global history. And now ICE are trying to remove all the illegals that Joe Biden let in. And you have police officers like this, and you have the police chief who is directly controlled by the mayor of Portland. If you're watching that video right there, watch his eyes. He is only focusing his attention on Antifa. He is giving his orders directly to Antifa. The side on the left, that's Black Rebel. That's our side. That's the MAGA side. The guy on the only guy on the right side with a red hat is actually wearing an F Trump hat. It's not a MAGA hat. And all of his orders are directly to Antifa. The Portland Police Department is beholden to Antifa, and that's what's happened, unfortunately, over the last 8 years. Antifa is basically the militant arm of the Democratic Socialists of America. They are the brown shirts of the leftists, people like AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, anyone who espouses the Democratic Socialists of America ideology. Antifa is their weaponized arm. And so to say they're anything other than that is a lie. They've been compromised. Every single city that is run by Democratic Socialists, that includes Portland, Berkeley, Seattle, Los Angeles, New York, many of these cities, they are all basically controlled. They use Antifa as their terrorists in the streets. And everything is fine. If you listen to the Portland mayor and if you listen to the governor of Oregon, everything's fine. Everything is under control until you have an an opposing mindset come in and says, no, we actually want the rule of law. We want our streets to be safe. We want ICE to be able to do their job. And then these guys, Antifa, are unleashed on those people. It's just like any Islamist country. Everything's fine in an Islamist country until you bring in an idea that's not Islam. That is the mindset that has taken over our country. And I would even say this, at this point in America, we don't have the United States of America. We have the divided states and the divided cities of America who have allowed evil to take over their cities. And now we, the patriots, are trying to go back in and say, we're not even trying to take over the cities. We're just saying, hey guys, let ICE do their job. Let them pick up the terrorists that you guys let in. It's a very simple concept. And to that, you've got the police who are clearly beholden, and to the point where they would even say it on camera. That was a crazy thing to me. I'm filming this. I'm like, this guy's really just giving direction, advice to Antifa as they're giving death threats to us. I got multiple death threats. I mean, it's just absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, no, it is outrageous. And there was a gentleman who was also next to you saying, you know, you guys stabbed me back in 2020. And I looked because Andy Ngo actually flagged it for us and he had actually covered the story. And the individual who is accused and pleaded guilty served no prison time. And if that couldn't get any worse, he was a convicted pedophile as well, it looks like, according to Ngo's report. So again, the worst of the worst is what Antifa is. And I don't think people really understand that until you're kind of walking amongst them and you're realizing what's going on here. So you spent the weekend in Portland, and obviously we saw what happened to Nick Sorter and others. Can you walk us through it a bit? Because, you know, I'm listening to people who are on the ground, and they're saying that these people, these Antifa members who are walking around causing havoc, assaulting people like Nick and others, some of them are drunk. They can smell alcohol in their breath. They do believe that they're using drugs as well. What did you experience when you were on the ground?
Yeah, no, it's like every leftist city in America. It's open drug use, open alcoholism. I was there with Nick. I was inside the building behind the wire a few times while he was outside, and then we were together a few times as well. And you see the same thing. I want to back up just a little bit. Mm-hmm. There was a different vibe to this. You know, I was there when Patriot Prayer was simply trying to have marches through the city a few years ago back in Trump's first term, and we were violently attacked simply for wanting to walk through the streets. To me, that clearly Antifa has been given a stand down order. It felt like it was the B team that was out there. I'm used to the Black Bloc. So anyone who's experienced Antifa, they're also known as Black Bloc. They show up. If you you want to know who Antifa is in those videos, just look for the guys all wearing black. They'll fly their Antifa flags. They are an organization. They are a terrorist organization. They are well funded. They are well coordinated. They have tactics. They work directly with the Democratic Socialists of America and many other groups, the NGOs across America, the leftist NGOs that are protecting illegal aliens. They're all working together. It's a massive conspiracy and they all need to be prosecuted. But I did definitely get a sense in Portland that they've been given a stand down order because you didn't have the, 300 plus Black Bloc that actually control the city. Most of the higher ranking Antifa members weren't actually out there. It was these drunken lunatics, demonic, transgender, all of the depraved soup of America that were out there and causing havoc, attacking ICE, making ICE's job harder, attacking patriots. But it wasn't quite at the same level that I've experienced. The violence wasn't at the same level that I've experienced. You see, Nick saving the flag here. But they were, there's no doubt about it. They're out there on the, behest of Antifa as an organization. And they're doing the bidding of the terrorists that want to destroy this country. And this is not accidental. This is not just an ideology. This is a coordinated attack on our country to destroy us from the inside. And that includes Antifa. That includes all of these, the socialist groups across America. That includes the NGOs that are providing aid and comfort to illegal aliens. That includes the politicians, the judges, and the DAs that are protecting them. And that's what I saw. I saw Tommy, you mentioned, or you've shown some videos, with Nick. Tommy got arrested 3 times in 4 days for things that he should not have got arrested for. And I witnessed Antifa not get arrested. The only time I saw Antifa get arrested was by ICE and Border Patrol coming out to protect the building. Basically, the Portland PD gives cover for Antifa. So I'll give you one perfect example. So Tommy's a patriot out there. He's the guy wearing the freedom shirt and the red MAGA hat the entire week last week. He's still out there today. He was out with his megaphone saying, God bless ICE, God bless President Trump, God bless America, competing with probably four or five other radical, rabid leftists that were out there saying, kill yourself, jump off the building, F ICE, F President Trump, all of these things, the most vile things you can think of. Cops came in, they ignored everybody else, and they arrested Tommy. At the same time, we saw the same thing with Nick. So Nick gets attacked by Antifa. He defends himself, doesn't even punch back. He just stands up and defends himself. And within minutes, cops come in and arrest Nick. They ignore Antifa. And this is the tactic. So you have, and what do you have after that? You have the police chief come out and say, this is a new phenomenon in Portland. We have these outside agitators coming in, aka MAGA, aka me and Nick and others that were coming in to film and document these terrorists in our, on our city streets. And we're responding to that as if we're the bad guys. The people that love America want ICE to be able to do their job and are calling out the terrorists. We're the bad guys. It's an upside down world. It's a biblical, I mean, it's a perfect biblical illustration of we've replaced truth with a lie, and what was good is bad and bad is good. Portland is the epicenter. It's the perfect example of that.
Yeah, no, it truly, truly is. And you guys being on the ground there is really critical because the mainstream media is not going to cover any of this. We strongly rely on the great work that you do all the time, as well as Nick. So it's important that we hear all of this. But you also, you're supporting ICE. And I found this video of you as well on your X page. And I laughed, but then as I watched, I was like, oh, this poor guy. I mean, Ben, you're getting a beatdown from all of these liberals, verbal beatdown, of course, though, because you're just saying, God bless ICE. So how did this experience go for you?
Yeah, you know, they are the most vile people. I have to take it in doses. So I went and I was there for all last week, and I decided, you know what, the last day I was there, I'm going to go out and let ICE know what I think about them. You had people honking all week in support of these terrorists. And I thought, well, I'm going to make a sign and just count every honk today as a honk for ICE. And then the other side obviously says, God bless ICE. And for that sign, I was told multiple times to kill myself, all kinds of demonic things. By the way, there were demonic shrines around here. There were witchcraft going on. You had these warlocks. They call themselves warlocks and witches that were out there. It is the most demonic place I've been in the country in a long time. And I just went out to spread some love. Now, I'm used to Antifa attacks. I've been attacked in Berkeley. I've got stitches all over my head and body from violent attacks. I was shocked that I didn't get violently assaulted. Now, I was out there mostly during the day. I did go out at night as well. But with the sign, I was out there during the day. They hated it. But you know what's amazing? When you bring light into the darkness, it's just like in a dark room, the roaches scatter. And I believe that when we step in to places like this without fear, with God's armor, his angel armies around us, the enemy can't stand it. And it only took a few of us. That day, MAGA drowned out the rabid mainstream leftists that want to destroy this country. And so for me, it was an honor. And it was also, to me, important to tell ICE, because these guys are attacked on a daily basis. ICE and Border Patrol and FBI and everybody that's in that building, they hear the most vile things. They've painted jump on all the bricks around the building, trying to get ICE officers to commit suicide. I wanted those officers to know that we support them, that I support them, that we love them. We've got their back. And I pray that message resonates and spreads around the country so that we can kill this cancer that wants to destroy our country.
Yeah. And you're doing an incredible job in this fight. You know, you were one of the very few who was covering everything going on in the border the last 4 years and brave enough to do just that. And it was a rough 4 years, but we're finally seeing, you know, the Trump administration trying to get rid of all of these awful people. And sadly, ICE agents all across the country are being attacked. But you're doing incredible work at covering all of this, Ben. So we want to thank you for all of the things that you are doing on the ground. We appreciate you joining us today. And if anything else happens, you're welcome to come back on the show. So thank you, Ben.
Hey, my pleasure. God bless you. God bless America.
God bless you as well, my friend. Ben, thank you for joining the program. All right, a lot going on around the world today. I want to remind you all that there was a sale going on right now for a very limited time. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the last stand super sale. Say that fast. It's a little rough when you try to do that. But we don't know how long, much longer InfoWars is going to be up. So right now we're passing on savings to all of you. They shut the door next week, today. We don't know. But what we're trying to do is fund our next operations just in case that does happen over these next few days. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 20% off site-wide. Plesters BOGO on some of your most favorite supplements. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Now is the time to stock up. We don't know even how long this is going to last. It's while supplies last. So head on over there right now and do just that. All right, I'm keeping my eye on Pam Bondi as she continues to testify in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Again, not much happening. I thought she was just asked about attacks on synagogues, but nothing of substance that I'm going to bring you right now. What I do want to bring you, though, is clip 13, because Donald Trump was asked yesterday, and the president has been very controversial on the topic of Jeffrey Epstein. But in clip 13, he was asked about pardoning Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, Ghislaine Maxwell yesterday just had her appeal tossed by the Supreme Court. And what I mean by that is they don't want to hear her case. She believed that she has immunity because of Jeffrey Epstein's plea agreement that he took years ago. And that provided her with criminal immunity so that she shouldn't have been prosecuted in the first place. The Supreme Court, they don't want to hear from her. So now really her only hope would be to get a pardon from President Donald Trump. So he was asked about that yesterday. Take a listen.
It's term today, Mr. President.
Say it.
The Supreme Court is back and said that they rejected today an appeal by Ghislaine Maxwell to overturn her conviction. That means her only chance of getting out of prison is a pardon from you. Is that something you're...
Who are we talking about?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
You know, I haven't heard the name in so long. I can say this, that I'd have to take a look at it. I would have to take a look. Did they reject that?
She wanted to appeal her conviction.
And what happened?
They said that they were not going to hear her appeal.
I see. Well, I'll take a look at it. I will speak to the DOJ. I wouldn't consider it or not consider it. I don't know anything about it. So, I will speak to the DOJ.
Why would she be a candidate for clemency, sir?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to speak to the DOJ. I'll look at it. I have a lot of people have asked me for pardons. I call him Puff Daddy, has asked me for a pardon.
But she was convicted of child sex trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to take a look at it. I have to ask DOJ. I didn't know they rejected it. I didn't know she was even asking for it, frankly.
Okay, so President Trump saying just that. It's very interesting to hear President Trump speak on this issue because, again, according to my sources, there's been a lot of evidence that has been deleted regarding Jeffrey Epstein. And so if you really want to get to the bottom of this, you'd have to get Ghislaine Maxwell to comply with you. And again, when she was prosecuted, thanks to James Comey's daughter, we didn't really hear much in the way of names being dropped. And although the DOJ and Pam Bondi did it earlier today, deny that there's an actual client list, we know that there were individuals who were out there sexually abusing children. And those are the names we want. We're not asking to see the abuse on film. We are specifically asking you for those that they know, our government knows, the people who were out there sexually abusing young girls. And that's what we're asking. So one would think, and I've listened to some of it. I didn't listen to all of it because it went on for a couple of days. But AG, Deputy AG Todd Blanche, obviously meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell. Nothing of substance coming from that interview. Didn't sound like they were really trying to do much in the way of digging. Maxwell denying that there's an official client list. But if you want to get to the bottom of everything regarding Epstein, you're going to need a cooperating witness, and that would have to be Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, can you trust her because she is trying to gain her freedom? That's one we'd have to actually kind of wrap our minds around and try to figure out. Can we trust her? Listen, would you rather Ghislaine Maxwell, who's accused of trafficking young girls to Jeffrey Epstein and all of his pedophile friends, would you rather her be behind prison bars, or would you rather the men who abuse these children be put behind prison bars? That's the question here. Although it's very controversial, I'd rather those who abuse these children be the ones sitting in a jail cell right now. Now, again, Maxwell, her reputation is ruined. Probably everyone besides her family has cut her off. I believe I've heard rumors that even her siblings have cut her off. So my point in all of this is quite simple. You have to go after those who were there abusing children. You have to. And it's also very frustrating to hear from victims, but the victims saying that they're going to release their own list soon, and we haven't heard of anything. They know. They all know. And so if the victims aren't going to start outing these names, you're going to have to rely on Ghislaine Maxwell, because how else are we ever going to find these predators? Now, I understand that it's very controversial to even entertain the idea of freeing Ghislaine Maxwell from her 20-year prison sentence. But, folks, if you want to put predators away, and they're probably still offending right now, they're probably going out there and still abusing children, you need to get some allies in all of this. And sadly, what else do you have? The last administration, did, in fact, get rid of a lot of these key pieces of evidence, well, guess what? You've got to figure out another plan. All right, don't go anywhere, because we're going to be talking to Nick Sorter's attorney. He sent a very aggressive letter to Portland PD, but it's not the strongly worded letter that a politician would send, because there's actually no threat involved in it. This one might lead to a lawsuit. He'll join me in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
This is undoubtedly one of the toughest announcements that I've ever personally had to make. But after the accident and turn four at the end of the Daytona 500, we've lost Dale Earnhardt.
Look, I'm not trying to frame myself as the GOAT, like a Dale Earnhardt who died with his boots on, sword in hand, or Michael Jordan, or Tom Brady, or Muhammad Ali. But the truth is, when it comes to information warfare and saving the American Republic, taking on the globalists, having the greatest effect, awakening Americans, people all over the world, InfoWars is the MVP. And the bad guys know that. That's why they come after us. That's why they sue us. That's why they attack us. Why they censor us, debank us, all of it. Because they see us as the lead elephant, the guy that has to be taken out. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've survived so many deep state attacks and attempts to close our doors in the last 8 years. That's intensified the last year. And people kind of see it as a boy who cried wolf thing. I mean, you see it in the news. They're coming to shut us down. You see them send in armed private security with no court order. Bloomberg's group, The Onion, having fake auctions. And we keep surviving. And people say, well, you're invincible. But we've had big movements in state and federal court. So just please pray for InfoWars and pray for our future, because we are fighting so hard. This crew has put up with so much. And please, please remember that the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. And it's part of the Alex Jones Network. So even if they shut this place down, the Alex Jones Network, Big League, our sponsor, will be funding the crew, the satellite uplinks, the servers, the studios, all of it, the legal. And that's why when you go to the AlexJonesStore.com, you support there. It has a giant effect. Plus, I only sell you products that really work. The very best methylene blue, the very best bovine colostrum, the very best Shilajit, Irish sea moss, the very best spike protein detox, cardiovascular booster, ultimate life force. These products are incredible. They have 5-star reviews, 80%+ reorder rates. But I need you to get off the bench and go try the products, plus the widest selection of Patriot apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. It has been your financing of us that has kept us on air, and I want to thank those that have supported and love the products. But I want to encourage those of you that see this broadcast like a Netflix show or NFL game or entertainment. This ain't entertainment. This is men and women in the arena fighting tyranny at point-blank range. The bad guys want us off the air because they know we are for real. So for our legal defense and staying on the air and expanding the face of this tyranny, regardless of what happens, you decide whether we stay on air. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Throughout this week, we've got deals on bovine colostrum, on ultramethylene blue, and all of it, where you buy one, get one free. But we're only running 2 days for each product. So check out whenever you watch this, which product is there, buy one, get one free. But everything's discounted, at least 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Whatever you do, check out the widest selection of some of the best designs of Patriot apparel in the world. Over 600 designs. It's actually annoying how many designs are. It takes a lot of time to go through it all. And wear these shirts, wear these ball caps, and experience what it's like to see how many people are awake. It is a real adventure. So thanks for your support. Whatever you do, spread the word, pray for the broadcast, and I thank you humbly for all you've done. Now take action now in the spirit of 1776 at thealexjonesstore.com. Wars take money to finance. It's an info war, and you are the info when you take action. Thank you so much.
Third hour. excited that you are all joining us today. We've been covering the story of Nick Sorter. As many of you know, he has a show on this network on Sundays, and obviously he's a friend of mine and a friend of so many here. And so when we saw that Nick was being assaulted by Antifa over the weekend, we saw three separate attacks. We were really enraged because Nick is a very kind human being. He is a patriot. He loves his country dearly. And he's just going there to cover what we've all seen unravel these last few weeks in Portland. But then Nick, I mean, he called it based on what he witnessed, but Portland police went after him after he was assaulted. And rather than arresting those who have abused Nick, they went after him. Now, Nick probably saw that coming. He tweeted about it. Possibly if he ever had to defend himself, he'd probably end up getting arrested. And they did, in fact, arrest him. Now, I called the jail to speak with him, and they said he'd be immediately released. And he was. But, you know, we're learning more and more. And yesterday in court, prosecutors decided that they really weren't going to file charges against Nick because there wasn't enough to support a disorderly conduct allegation. Nick yesterday was very outspoken about it, and he decided to kind of sound off about how it wasn't really a smart move for the DA's office. Let's take a listen to clip 23.
Initial reaction to hearing that the charges against you were going to be dropped, and why do you think the DA decided to do that?
I think it was a smart move because all of the evidence was in my favor. There was no evidence against me at any time. So everybody there has a camera for the most part at these demonstrations or whatever we want to call them in the streets. And all of those videos that came out showed that I was the victim. I was the one that was jumped. I was the one that was thrown into a hole. I was the one that was punched. I didn't punch anybody. I didn't break anybody's camera. My crime was filming in public, filming people that don't believe in First Amendment rights, for conservatives, I guess. And that's where this whole thing started. I should never have been arrested. I should never have been put through the ringer. And I shouldn't have the chief of police on TV slandering me during the day. Instead, he should be focused on pulling the rot out of his police department. And maybe this will make him think twice about, I don't know, the direction that the department's going.
All right. Obviously, Nick has every reason to be angry because they obviously overstepped and overplayed their hand. Because as soon as the video started circulating on social media of Nick's arrest, the DOJ and even President Donald Trump reached out to Nick to let him know that they were on his side. And then miraculously, the DA wanted no involvement in taking up this case. Joining me to discuss is Nick's attorney, Angus Lee. He joins us today to detail the very latest. I want to thank you, Angus, for being here, because we hear that obviously they're not going to be moving forward with prosecuting Nick because even they know there's no evidence to back up these claims. But Nick has been bashed publicly by obviously the police themselves, but he's also been arrested. And so there's a lot that comes from all of this. Now, you sent over a letter yesterday, and in that letter, you are asking for a formal public apology, and you're also asking for an internal investigation. So break down, number one, your reaction, the DA not prosecuting Nick, and then your letter specifically, what the goals are here.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show. First of all, the decision by the prosecutor not to pursue charges was really the only smart move he had. It's important to note that Monday morning, first thing we did at 9 a.m. was serve a notice of appearance that we were going to plead not guilty and fight the charges aggressively. At 11 Monday morning, we sent a detailed discovery demand requesting all communications between the Portland Police Department and members of Antifa. And it was after we sent that request for all the discovery related to communications and coordination with Antifa by the Portland Police Department that 45 minutes later, the prosecutor announced, oh, they're not going to follow charges. They're not really interested in providing that discovery. So the case was dismissed. So it's pretty clear that the Portland police continued their pattern and practice of wrongfully arresting conservatives and being hostile to conservative speech and conservative activists. So we sent a letter yesterday to the chief of police, Chief Bob. We're calling him Brain Dead Bob. Now, that's not very nice, but it fits. And the reality is we are asking for two things. One, we want an internal investigation into why this arrest occurred. Keep in mind that the police detained Nick for approximately 45 minutes without any idea what they were going to arrest him with. And it was a command staff member, a higher ranking member who was not an officer. We understand We have information that a higher ranking police officer called the scene and said, you will arrest him and charge him with this, after he had been detained for 45 minutes. So we want an investigation into whose decision it was to make this arrest, whose decision it was to book him into jail. We want an apology, and we want to know what is going on between the liaison officers and these members of Antifa. And the reason that's important for everyone to know is Antifa is a designated terrorist group. And what I know from prior cases involving the city of Portland is they often coordinate through their liaison officers with individuals who are leading protests. And normally that's a good thing. But if the people who are leading protests are actually there to engage in insurrection, for example, and they are members of a domestic terror organization, those are people you don't coordinate with. Those are people you should be arresting. We need to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And I want to also play this clip because Nick has also said that Antifa, while he was down in Portland, that Antifa has threatened to assassinate him. Take a listen.
I've gotten it on video multiple times now with people, with different people coming up to me saying things like, oh, well, you know, if you come around again, you're going to end up being Charlie Kirk. I mean, these people celebrate violence. And, you know, because they walk up and say, I'm a Nazi. They call everybody on the right a Nazi, right? And that alone, if people genuinely believe that somebody is a Nazi, they have no problem with committing violence against them. And, you know, I came out here originally, Sean, to expose the Portland police. But within hours of me being here, they exposed themselves. So I really didn't have to do much. It's been like this for the longest time where the residents next door to this ICE facility out here are miserable because they're stuck in a lease and they can't sleep at night because people are screaming in the megaphones at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's not fair. And they're afraid to speak out because if they do speak out, they're going to end up being attacked too. I mean, these people need help.
Yes, I want to step in on here because we saw footage of Nick being assaulted several times throughout the week. And in my opinion, it looks like these individuals could possibly be Antifa members. As his attorney, is there any legal action that you guys could take up? Because they have repeatedly gone after him, obviously the death threats, but also you see them assaulting him.
Well, as we said yesterday, we are highly likely to pursue federal civil rights litigation against the Portland Police Department for wrongful arrest, selective enforcement, and First and Fourth Amendment violations. So there's a very high likelihood that we'll be doing that in the near future, and you'll just have to stay tuned. We'll let you know when that happens. But the reality is, what is going on in Portland, what has been going on in Portland for years now, is that the political leadership allows this activity by Antifa. They, through their command staff at the police department and their elected officials, they pretend it doesn't exist, they turn a blind eye, and they choose to allow this to happen. This is a situation of choice. It doesn't have to be like this. The Portland Police Department has all the troops they need, all the equipment they need, all the training they need to lawfully suppress illegal, criminal, violent activity from masked men ruling their streets. The reason they don't is because they're happy to let it occur. This is a choice. The people of the city of Portland need to choose not to allow this anymore, and it will stop. It will stop. It's that simple. It's a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is a choice. It is a choice, and we're hoping that this ends very, very soon. I just want to thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to all the updates regarding what Nick plans on doing next, because he's got a great case and we're excited that you guys are taking it up together. So thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, I want to remind our audience that we're keeping our eye, obviously, on all of the violence going on the left, but we're also keeping our eye on a lot of other things. And none of this would be possible without your support. So we've got a sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. Right now, it's the last stand super sale. You got to head on over because, as we told you before, since we are the truth tellers and there's very few people in this fight who will continuously go out there and battle all of these globalists, all of these deep state operatives, they're coming for us and they're obviously trying to shut us down. And we could shut down either next week or even today. So we need you in this fight as well to help fund our next operation. So because of all of this, we've got a great sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. It's 20% off store wide. So head on over there. This is going to be going on for a very limited time while supplies last. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Okay, I wanted to also switch it up a little bit because I just got an alert from my good old friends over at Attorney General Ken Paxton's office. That's the Texas AG. And they've had enough of left-wing terrorists as well. And they're, in fact, going out there right now and going to be launching an investigation. Here's the announcement that the press team has just made over at Paxton's office, saying that Ken Paxton is launching an undercover operation to infiltrate and uproot leftist terror cells in Texas after the increased political violence. Now, they're saying this is in response to Charlie Kirk being assassinated, obviously, and they're looking to go after those who have created or have started terror attacks throughout Texas, specifically also calling out the shooting outside of the ICE facility as well. Now, again, they name Antifa, and they say Antifa-like groups that are ambushing ICE agents and ICE facilities. So it looks like Ken Paxton is also taking up this fight. He is one of the very few brave AGs who will go after groups like Antifa. And that's why the state of Texas really has the honor of having him as their AG. But this country could have the honor of having him as a U.S. senator soon. So we look forward to seeing that. All right, again, I got my eye going on right now on Pam Bondi's testimony. Again, we're not really hearing much from the AG, so I'm not going to take you there. I'll keep digging into some of the other stories that I think are very, very important for all of you to make sure that you understand, that you've heard of. Let's talk about President Trump again. Because President Trump, in clip 14, is going after James Comey. Now, James Comey, as we sit here and watch Pam Bondi testify, he hasn't been arrested yet. Now, of course, he's going to have his day in court, but that's not the standards that was set by the previous regime, you see. The previous regime, they would go after their political opponents, embarrass them with dozens of armed agents at their front door for a 6 a.m. raid, but James Comey is either getting, you know, car service to shuffle him into, I believe it was the Secret Service headquarters, talk about 8647 posts, and now he still has not been arrested. So what does President Trump think about the former FBI director? Take a listen.
James Comey is being arraigned on Wednesday, obviously after his indictment. Are you worried that your own statements calling for his prosecution could help him actually in his defense of this case?
No, I think he's a crooked guy. He's a dirty cop. Comey, I think he's a dirty cop. He's a recognized by many people to be a dirty cop and a dishonest guy. So all I have to do is, I mean, I have nothing to do with the case. I just say,
but you called Pam Bondi to prosecute him.
No, I don't call anybody. You know what? I'm allowed to do that if I wanted to do that. But Comey's a crooked guy. He has been for years. And he got caught. Look, he lied. This is just a simple case. He totally lied. And then he confirmed the lie on, I guess, numerous occasions, or at least one occasion. He confirmed the lie. He said, that's what I said, and I stand by it. And, you know, I mean, the guy, and he didn't say, to the best of my knowledge. He didn't say, well, I don't remember. He made a very definitive statement and a very important statement concerning him. And he got caught in an outright lie. And that's why a group of people, it wasn't me that voted, they voted to indict him. But he's a crooked guy, in my opinion, and we'll find out. The court's going to determine that in a little while, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just James Comey's a bad person. It's a long laundry list of folks who need to be targeted by the DOJ because, again, they've committed crimes that need to be pursued. So we're continuing to watch as AG Bondi testifies. But again, I'm not hearing anything of substance right now that assures me and the American people that she's up for the task of being able to carry all of this out. Again, there's a lot of questionable reports that are circulating right now in regards to the job that she's doing leading the DOJ, but also Deputy AG Todd Blanche, who, according to my team, people I'm speaking to who are literally there, well, they're saying Todd Blanche has been holding up a lot. And he's not really answering any questions on that front. So we'll see how that all unravels. But I want to play this next clip for you because yesterday the White House press secretary was asked about the Treasury secretary specifically tracking down the funding regarding Antifa and left-wing violence. Take a listen.
The financial backing of these groups, particularly Antifa, is certainly something the administration is looking into aggressively. And the federal government has never really been mobilized or tasked with doing that. So we're kind of kickstarting that into gear. The FBI is working on it alongside the White House's Homeland Security Task Force. We have our intelligence community looking into this as well. And even the Secretary of Treasury is involved with these matters since they are financial in nature. And we will continue to get to the bottom of who is funding these organizations in this organized anarchy against our country and our government. It's a question the American people have been begging the answer for many years, and we're committed to uncovering it. And when we do, I'm sure you'll be one of the first people to know.
Well, that's interesting. We look forward to seeing what comes from that. Again, the news of all of this has a lot on the left very upset. They're very worried, obviously, because they have been funding actual terrorists, especially because now we know that Antifa has officially been designated as a terrorist organization. Those who are close to the group are fleeing. Mark Bray. Now, he's an individual who was accused of funding a terrorist organization. He's apparently one of their organizers as well. Well, according to the Gateway Pundit, he's fled. The Gateway Pundit's actually reporting that he has left. And although he is an assistant teaching professor over at Rutgers University, that he is somehow, some way now has fled. He's claiming that it's death threats and doxing, but he's no longer in the country. In an email that has been since publicly posted, it looks like, if this is accurate, unfortunately, my situation has worsened recently. This weekend, shortly after some negative media and social media attention, I have received another death threat, separate threats. Then he goes on to blame people. Now, is it the fact that he's fleeing because he legitimately, and in a tweet, he actually specifically calls out Turning Point, Jack Posobiec, Andy Ngo, and Fox News, who he says are referring to him as Antifa's financer? Again, those are allegations that they make, but that's a blue sky. Yikes. But again, folks, these people are fleeing. Are they fleeing because he legitimately thinks his life is at risk? Probably not, because the violence doesn't come from our side of the aisle. The violence is almost exclusively these days coming from the left. And so it's interesting to hear him come out and say that he had to flee. I think he had to flee for something else. I think he knows accountability is coming. And if you're someone who fears accountability, well, you got to get out. I'm going to turn to another topic. This one's really interesting. We're going to play clip 19 for you. FBI Director Kash Patel was asked specifically about cutting off ties with the ADL. Now, when he did this, it was very big news, obviously. A lot of people not very happy, but he walked through what happened behind the scenes. Take a listen.
You know, I found it interesting that your latest on the Anti-Defamation League, political fronts masquerading as watchdogs.
Yeah. I mean, just go look at the glossary index of what they used to have as what they called the equivalent of terrorist organizations. Turning Point USA on the list, just to name one example.
So you thought they were a useful tool for former director James Comey?
No, I didn't. Absolutely not. I don't know why he ever partnered with them, except to bandy his name about in the public and work with the lobbyists down on K Street. Let me tell you something about this. When word got out that I was about to kick the ADL out, do you know who called this building? The lobbyists for ADL, begging for a phone call. And I said, no. That's how I knew they were in the wrong the entire time. And we proved it. And we put it out for the world to see.
Isn't that interesting? The lobbyists calling to protect and defend the ADL's connection to the FBI. Now, that's not surprising. Of course, they are the ones who have been funding all of this. And again, I say it all the time, the ADL has just, I think it's created more anti-Semitism than it's actually helped prevent at this point, as they continue to go around and target those who are simply questioning the Israeli government. Again, they want to conflate both issues because they don't want you to attack the government, which obviously has done some very questionable things. That's me putting it very, very nicely. But again, they don't want you asking those questions. And so the ADL has been utilized as a bullying organization to target anyone who asks questions that they don't like. Even Turning Point, which is insane because Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, was always a very outspoken supporter of Israel these years. Well, I guess they didn't like it too much. So this is a much needed move from the FBI. And of course, not just them, it's also other organizations that have been calling directly to the agency. They've had like a direct line to reach out. This is good. This is very good. We need to be taking away the power, the authority of the ADL. They have completely abused just that. And so this is what you want to hear from your FBI director. All right, let's get a good laugh in. President Trump always knows when to crack a good joke, a good whatever he can. And this next clip, it brought a smile to my face, because every time you look at Greta Thunberg, you're like, what is wrong with this child? Obviously now she's an adult, but she looks like she's a miserable, miserable person. Well, President Trump weighed in. Take a listen.
She's just a troublemaker, you know. I mean, she's no longer into the environment. Now she's into this. She's a troublemaker. She has an anger management problem. I think she should see a doctor. She needs anger. If you ever watch her, she's a young person. She's so angry. She's so crazy. Now you can have her. She's just a troublemaker.
Oh, she's a troublemaker. She is. She is just here for the PR stunt. And it's really unfortunate. It's really sad because, again, they use this child to go out there and now defend Islamic terrorists. And unfortunately, because it's now become the new movement on the left, she just jumped on board and allows them to continue to use her. But she's not a child anymore. She's an adult. And although she's looking for this free PR stunt, she continues to go out there and make her way to Gaza. Israel keeps intercepting. Let her go. Let her go. Let her figure it out for herself. No, we won't save her. Let her do what she wants to do. She wants to go to Gaza. Let her go to Gaza. I look forward to her report on what she actually experienced in Gaza later. Hopefully it's not as bad as one would assume. But again, this is the kind of people he wants to defend. Do it. Do it. All right, I want to turn to Senator Jim Banks, because he's calling out, and this is very important, the 2020 census. He actually released a letter yesterday saying the Biden regime used the shady privacy formula to scramble the data and miscount 14 states. Now, again, he's saying it included illegal aliens who shouldn't have been counted in the census in the first place. But as a result of all of this, well, of course, it handed Democrats more seats. Because this is how they capture more seats, you see. This is why they fought that battle. When President Trump wanted to ask, are you a U.S. citizen during the census? Remember when they said that you couldn't ask that question and the courts actually sided with that? Well, it was all a way to inflate blue cities, blue states, so they could steal congressional seats from you all at home. Because every time an illegal alien is counted in the census, guess what happens? You lose your representation. And like we say all the time, that's what Democrats want. That's why they flooded this country with millions of illegal aliens. They give you a figure. I say just double it at this point. Because they weren't keeping tabs. In fact, I know from my sources who have told me that during the Biden regime years, when there was a security camera on the border that wasn't working, they didn't fix it. They didn't want to count all the illegals that were flooding into our country. So now we have Senator Banks coming out and saying, yeah, guess what? We know that the Biden regime was actually miscounting. And we also know they had some formula to carry out this theft. Now, what comes of all of this? No one knows. No one knows. But again, it just highlights the insanity that was happening over these last 4 years. And then now all of a sudden, everyone's interested in covering. We've been covering it, though, for a very long time. Unfortunately, they were all cowards and didn't want to get in this fight until it was too late. Folks, we're working on tomorrow's show, and I'm very excited because it's going to be a jam-packed program. Senator Tommy Tuberville will be calling in tomorrow morning because I've got a lot of questions to ask him since he was the only real fighter on that Arctic Frost list that we found out about yesterday. So I'm excited to have him on the program. He'll be calling into the show. Also, we're going to be joined by another very popular congressman, Tim Burchett, will be joining the program tomorrow because he's a little jealous that he hasn't seen any evidence that the Biden regime was spying on him. He's a patriot, so I told him, like, you probably were on some type of list, but he'll be joining me tomorrow to react to that. Plus, there are so many more incredible guests joining me on the American Journal tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. All right, before we head out, I got to tell you, Alex has an incredible show lined up for you, so don't go anywhere. There's more to unpack on InfoWars.
Thomas Sieber from the state is coming here tomorrow. I'm going to be friendly, but they're here to start the shutdown of InfoWars. So for all of you saying, oh, you'll survive forever, well, they don't own the AllieShowStore.com. That's why we're running the biggest sale in our history. Buy one, get one free of any of the incredible supplements, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, you name it. The problem is they didn't have big supplies to catch 22, so a lot of the sale has had to end because things have sold out at the AllieShowStore.com, the last stand super sale, 20% on top of buy one, get one free. But we do have Ultramethylene Blue Liquid, the very best you're going to get, the Ultimate CMOS Gummies, the incredible super nutrient, amazing, and the Shilajit Capsules, the very best Shilajit. All these are super complex nutrients. You're insane if you don't get them. Just like our information is powerful, these products are incredible. 20% off store-wide on top of those sales. And if you have the app that we'll put on screen, AlexJonesApp.com takes you right to Apple. The Droid launches in a few days. Number one in news, the top 150 of total apps in the world out of 1.6 million. AlexJonesApp.com. If you buy through the shopping cart on the app, you get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free at AlexJonesApp.com. It's a free app on Apple. Despite them trying to delist it and block it, it's still surging. The AlexJonesStore.com. Access it through AlexJonesApp.com and get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free. And they're going to have to end the Ultramethylene Blue sometime probably tomorrow. Current sales rates is going to sell out. More comes in 3 weeks. They're going to have to end the CMOS gummies in about 2 days and the Shilajit in about 3. So everything else is basically sold out. So they're going back to regular price and they'll be totally sold out in a few days, period. But that funds the operation. So thanks for your support. TheAlexShowStore.com. But you are insane if you don't try the Ultramethylene Blue. It will game change your life and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. It's game time.